power beyond the sky. Power set me, Holy Ghost power. Power set me, power, power
beyond the sky. Power set me free,
power
beyond the sky.
Power
set me free,
power
beyond the sky.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father and our God, we want to thank you for this privilege once again. I want to thank you for the strength. I want to thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come before you, to renew our strength, to know from you who we are, Lord, and what we should be, Lord, as men. Please, Lord, even as we consider your word, give us depth and understanding, and help us, Lord, to imbibe not only in our life but that of our family the godly values you will want inculcated in families in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, as a speaker. Help your people, Lord, as hearers, that together through your leading we shall be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Let's have our seats. You know, if it were women program, you would discover that the attendance will have been much more than this. And I also discovered that in many gatherings, you will always discover that women are much. I don't know why, but I think that if there are a set of people that God wanted to concentrate on their life, it is the men. Because if the woman is out of the way, or has fallen, or have misbehaved, something has not yet spoiled. But each time the male man fails God, it does not only affect the man, it affects him, it affects his wife, it affects his children, it affects almost everybody around him. But when a woman misbehaves, many times the damage is limited to her. When the children misbehave, the damage is limited to them. But when the man misbehaves, the damage goes beyond him. It affects the wife, it affects the children. Sometimes they bear the brunt even much more than the man. So, if there are people that God is depending upon to transfer his values, it is the men, because it is through them that the family value can flow down to the rest of the members of the family. And as we consider the word of God today, may the Almighty God indeed make us another man in the name of Jesus. That is the theme of the program. Another man. Now, we are going to be speaking about family values. Family, as we all know, consists of the man or the husband, the wife, and the sons and the daughters within the nucleus. And values are a collection of guiding principles or rules. What one deems to be correct and desirable in life, especially regarding personal conduct. Values are a collection of guiding principles or rules. That is, what one deems to be correct and desirable in life, especially regarding personal conduct. They are like ethics, rules, principles that guide one's personal life. And we have always heard of societal values. They will tell you, in this part of the world, we don't have that kind of values. And so, if there are principles and there are rules that guide our life, either as a family or as a person, then we are not discussing the worldly family. And if we're not going to be looking at the worldly family, we're looking at the godly family, because we are godly people, then it behooves us to see from the Word of God what are the values that God wants us to practice or to imbibe as families. Genesis chapter 18, where we'll begin our reading tonight. God said something there. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I will read from verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. Praise the Lord. Who was speaking here? God said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken to him. Praise the Lord. The Almighty God said, I know Abraham. I know him. He is going to transfer, he is going to instill, he is going to bring my set of rules and principles as a value in his family. He is going to command his children. And two things he mentioned: justice and judgment. That he know Abraham is going to command his children to do justice and judgment. The two words almost look similar. The two words look as if they are saying the same thing, but they are not. Judgment and justice was what God believes Abraham is going to teach and is going to command his family to practice, so that God will bring to pass in the life of Abraham and his descendants that which he has spoken.
Now, judgment there means to be able to discern, to be able to decide, to be able to show what is right, what is fair, what is true. Because Abraham, as a family man, he is the one to show the family. He is the one that will be able to judge, he will be able to discern, he will be able to decide what is fair, what is just, what is right. But justice, again, is to do what is just. Is doing what is fair. Is doing what is right. One is knowing what is just. Another one is doing it. Praise the Lord. To judge or to discern or to know is you are showing it. Another one is also to do it. So, as a man, you may have a good judgment. But you also don't do justice. It will have defeated the purpose. It is not enough that you are telling the family what is right. It is not enough that you are telling the family what is fair. It is not enough that you are telling the family what God required of them. It is another that you are also doing it. When you are found to be doing it, then you have not only set a practical example of what they are hearing, but also what they are seeing. Those values that God required in the family and was so sure of Abraham to do it, God was not only going to see Abraham show them, but that he's also going to see Abraham doing it so that the family can follow after. Praise the Lord. Family values. If not for Christianity, we will not be coming together here and be talking, because we all call from different families and therefore there are different values. Those from the north, from the south, from the east. How we greet elders from the eastern side of this country is different from how we greet people from the western side of the country. And it's also different from the northern aspect of this country. What you call disrespect by the standard of the western culture or the Yoruba people when they see the evil man greet another, it is actually a respect from the other people. So, if we are going to judge by those values, as much as they are good in their own cultural value, but I believe that God has value because He alone started family. And if there are Christian values that must be imbibed in the family, God is actually looking for a man. It is only through the male man that God can instill the family value. Because as a male man, you are the progenitor. You are the one that carry the gene. You are the one actually that bring forth family. So because they came out of your loins, God is looking up to you. Is depending on you to be able to bring about His value instilled in the family. When you leave that to a woman, there is a limit she can go. Because she herself looks up to you as the male man. That is why in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 7, the Bible says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, because he is the image and the glory of God. Because he is the image and the glory of God. The male man must not obscure his head, which is Christ. The male man is a direct expression of the image and the glory of God. That is to say, through him and in him, the wife and the children will see how God looks like. They will learn how God talks. They will learn how God acts, because he is indeed, that's how the Bible put it, he is indeed the image and the glory of God. So as a male man sitting here this evening, you are indeed the image, the reflection of the glory of God. So, when your family sees you, God expects that they will see him in conduct, in word, and in every sense, they are seeing God. The values that God expects Abraham to transfer to the family, it is first of all God's own value. So anytime the male man is covered, the male man is looking defeated, the male man is walking with his head bowed and covered in shame, you know, each time they cover the man's head, it is something shameful, harmful, or disgraceful has happened. Actually, the man always ought to be walking with his head high and tall. So God is saying, because he is indeed the image and the glory of God, he ought not to cover, he ought not to obscure his head, who is Christ. Because Christ is your head, and you must not do anything that must obscure him. You are always going to be a reflection of God. Anytime a male man is born, a leader has been born. Anywhere, when a male man is born, God has given birth to a leader. As he grows, one day he is going to lead his family. He's going to lead a society. He's going to lead the clan. He's going to lead a nation, whether spiritual or in the natural. So God has put certain abilities, certain qualities in the man. He wired him that way. That ability, that quality is not in a woman. No matter how confident the woman looks, however the book she reads, whatever knowledge you receive from the world, when it comes to giving direction, when it comes to giving guidance, when it comes to showing leadership, she has a limit. But in the man, God has wired that. And that is why you hear the Bible says, it was not Adam that was deceived. You know that Adam wasn't deceived. Adam merely disobeyed. He knows what God said. He knows the consequence of his action if he goes ahead to do that thing. But the woman, because of her limitation, was beguiled, was fooled, was deceived. And so right there, God forbids her from handling his word. He has taken that right. He has taken that responsibility and placed it on the man. unfortunately for us, the woman seems to be the one in almost most of our homes that are trying their best to instill family values. The men are always out there. May I inform you something, my brothers and sisters? You see, one of the least responsibility of a man, the least, is going to bring food and give your family. Some of you will look at it as the major reason why you are a man. No! There is something much more that God has placed in you that is beyond going to work and bringing money. You see, we live in a modern age. That is why all of us that give birth to daughters, we give them good training. We send them to school. They compete with the best of the boys. They are doctors. They are lawyers. They are in every field of life. And they can go and work and earn as much as you can earn. Therefore, they can also bring income to the family. So if all that make you a man, whether you go out there, you bring food, today the women do and do much more. Time has come and has actually eroded you and will not allow you to take that position. I hear many people, the next place we go to was the book of Timothy. If any does not provide for his household, he is worse than an infidel. If any does not provide, I said, we should look at that scripture very well. When you go and read it, Paul was speaking to Timothy concerning widows. And so he said, if they have brothers or sisters or women or men in the church that have widows, let them first of all learn to take care of them. There are widows that are indeed, if they don't have people that could take care of them, then the church should be responsible. So he said, if you keep reading that chapter, you see, he said, whether it is man or woman, the responsibility of a man today has gone beyond you going out there to bring food for the family. There are circumstances that can incapacitate you at that. Yet, it has not taken away who you are as the man. There is a quality that God has wired in your life. Of course, as the man, because you are the progenitor, you are the one that is the father. Therefore, everything has to originate and comes from you. But if you limit yourself to only because you have hustled and go and bring food, therefore you are not a man. I can tell you the truth, circumstance will put you away from there. Situation could happen. You could lose the job, you could be incapacitated. And therefore you may not be able to work. Age or anything can come up. And the woman will be able to do that. So if that's all that makes you a man, you could see that she has become the man. But with all that the woman can ever earn in life, she is never confident. She is never secured. Unless she is under a man who is indeed a man. She is never born. She is never wed to direct, to guide herself, to lead herself. She depends on the man, the male man. It is in him that God placed that ability. So that whatever she's even bringing home, she discovered that only in the man, God placed the wisdom how to even appropriate the family funds. Praise the Lord. Abraham was to teach his family values, which consist of judgment and justice. So, but because you are the image and the glory of God, so through you flows who God is before your wife and before your children. That means for you to be that another man, like we saw in Saul, it is because the Spirit of God, not just that it is in the woman that is in the man, but that God himself resides in a man, and over the years he has come to be the one that projects who God is. You are not born a male by chance. God that brought you and made you a male has a reason. He is depending on you for something. Something very vital. He looks up to you. He depends on you to be able to instill values that is going to give direction, guidance, leadership to your wife and your children. Each time a man shrinks away from his responsibility, many, many things used to go wrong. And so for me, that you are a male man, you have huge and enormous responsibility on your shoulder. The earlier we wake up and realize what God has placed in us and begin to function in that place, the better for the society and the church. Family values. Family values. Principles, rules that guide our families, our conduct, and our behavior. Because we are Christians, we can only be talking from a Christian perspective. We cannot operate it from any other societal value. We will look at it from the Christian own perspective. So we suppose that as we are all seated here, we are men who are directly responsible and answerable to God. We drive our loyalty. We drive our instruction. We drive our followership from our head, who is Christ. So that whatever we do in our homes, whatever we say in our homes, it is instead of Christ. It is as if God is the one passing that instruction. That is why God told the woman that she should obey her husband in how many things? In how many things? How many things? Brethren, can you imagine God reposing confidence in you, reposing trust in you, that whatever that woman needs to know, whatever that woman needs to understand, whatever that woman needs to become, is as you yourself has guided her and has spoken to her. And God's expectation is that whatever you tell that woman, whatever you instruct that woman to do, it will always turn out to be as if it is God that said it. That is why he said, the woman should obey you in everything. Because everything that originates from you, everything that will come from you, it will be as if God is saying it. So, are you like that? Are you like that? Are you that man that God will say, for I know him? That was God staking his integrity on Abraham. That was God entrusting him, his personality on Abraham. For I know him. I know him. Does he know you? Does he know you that you are going to command your family? You are going to teach your family the Christian values? I know him. As at the time God was speaking, Abraham doesn't have a child yet. But because out of Abraham, the families of the whole earth will come forth. God has looked through and seen that Abraham is going to inculcate my values. He's going to inculcate my teaching and instill them in his family. And they are going to do justice and judgment so that I will bring to pass. Does he know you? Are you a constant absentee father? Are you always absent in the house? Where are the men? What happened to the male man? Why does the male man cover and obscure his head? Why is it that today the women and the children do not see the image and the glory of God in the man? And so you see that it is going to be a double confusion for the woman. If when she wants to obey what God says, that she should obey you in everything. Because God says that in the assumption that he knows you, that you are going to command, you are going to teach your children to do justice and judgment. So because God knows that and reposes his confidence in you, so he told the woman to obey you in everything. You could see the enormous responsibility that we carry as male men. You could see what God is expecting of us. If instead of reflecting his image, we reflect our own selfish image. If instead of reflecting his image, we are doing it contrary. The book of Malachi chapter 3 says, chapter 2 verse 13 says, God is acting as a witness between the man and the wife of his youth. And God was asking, why are you dealing with that woman treacherously? Why are you a treacherous man? Why are you acting as a betrayer? A treacherous man is a betrayer. You have betrayed the trust that God reposed on you. That trust is that he knows you. That you are going to instill the family values in your family. And so when God came in Malachi chapter 2, verse 13, the men came praying as we have come now. And they were crying and they were weeping. And they were saying, God, why are you not hearing our prayers? Why are you not giving attention to our offerings? He said, because I, the Lord, I am acting as a judge. I am standing as a witness between you and the wife of your youth, whom you are dealing with treacherously. That was God's verdict. He discovered that the male man has cut off faithfulness with the wife. He wasn't honest with her. He wasn't sincere with her. He wasn't open to her. Actually, he has betrayed the trust that God placed on him. If we will go back to be as another man, brothers and sisters, God wanted to see her return back that image that he has placed in us so that our wives and our children could see it. You are not a man simply because you have a long stick in between your two legs. It is more than that, brethren. There is something about you, the male man, that God said, I look for a man God is still looking for a man who will stand in the gap. I look for a man when he came to the New Testament. Paul, speaking in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says that I will therefore that men everywhere, he's not talking in plural as to men and women, he's particular about men. I will therefore that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath. Everywhere, God wants to see the male man sitting at the gate. In the olden days, it is men that you found at the gate. The gate is the entrance to the city, the entrance to the house. Whatever harm, whatever evil, whatever destruction succeed in passing through the gate of a community, of a city, of a family, has already found its way and it will destroy everything inside. So until that evil, until that calamity erodes you who is sitting at the gate, the evil cannot enter the family. You are the male man who sits at the gate. You are a defender. You are a protector. You are a shield. You are the object that the woman and the children look up to, and they are assured of their safety. In everything in life, God has wired you so for that responsibility. And we must wake up and become that man in the course of this program in the name of Jesus Christ. We cannot afford to abdicate our responsibility. We cannot afford to be truants. We are running around. We are about things that at the end of the day, actually, it is not the thing that is the core thing that kept you as a man. She lacks the leadership ability that can transform God's image. He went further in that 1 Corinthians 11:7. He says that, but the woman is the glory and the beauty of the man. But you, the man, you are the image and the glory of God. Can you imagine that? That's who you are. That's what God expects of you. And because it is so, that was why he told that woman, obey that man in everything. So it is a grievous offense. It is a violation of God's principle for you to be found misleading that woman, misleading that family. Actually, when God brings the man and the woman, God was expecting godly seeds. Both your wife and your children, you are the only one that can mold them into becoming what God wants them to be. If you go to the New Testament, there are two instructions. And I found that God did not give that instruction directly to the woman. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in Colossians chapter 3, he said, Fathers, provoke not your children, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. He repeated that instruction two different places. Another place says, husband, don't be bitter with your wife, but love her. Love is the essence and the very nature of God. Because God is love. And so if you are the image and the glory of God, you yourself are a bundle and personification of love. If all things stand correct and straight, you are the expression of God's love to your wife and to your children. But many times, our act of kindness or love towards our wife and our children, many times is born out of selfishness. It is not born out of responsibility. It is not born out of a duty that we know we must dispense of it, irrespective of how that woman or how those children behave. Praise the Lord. The male man, God has deposited himself in you. You are his direct representation. You are his direct confidence in life. Through you, he expresses who he is to the family. I remember a man in the Bible, in the book of Esther. Of course, the Bible didn't mention his name. All I read was that they say, such a fellow. That was a man. His brother died. His brother's two sons died. And by the culture and tradition of the Jews, he was supposed to continue and raise seed for the dead. That was the expectation of God. But when it was time to do so, they said, because you are the near kinsman, you are the one to redeem Naomi. The man was willing to inherit the estate. He was willing to inherit the properties of his late brother. But he was not willing to take responsibility to raise seed for his dead brother. Do you know his answer? He said, so that I will not endanger my own estate. Because he did not want to carry out a responsibility that will not give him any pleasure, that will not give him any glory, that will not give him any praise. He backed out. Actually, they say, that is the man who failed in his responsibility. So a woman came and spit in his face. The woman came and removed his slippers and spit on his face. That anywhere he goes, they will say, that is the man who failed in his responsibility. That was a taboo. He was willing to inherit the land and every other thing. But when they say, along all other things you will inherit, you are also going to be responsible in raising a seed for the dead. And he wasn't willing for that. And he becomes such a fool, such a fellow, such an irresponsible man, who we don't even know his name anyway, because of his selfish disposition. God has given us responsibility, brethren, as men, as fathers, as husbands. We carry enormous responsibility before God. And we indeed have to become another man. Man in whom God's spirit dwells and God's image is reflected through. If that does not happen, if that does not take place, and if our wives and our children could not behold God in us, in what we say and in what we do, we will only lead them into injustice and misjudgment. But God said, I know him. I know him. And it is my prayer that God will say the same about you, that I know you. In the end of this program, may God be able to say, I know him. I know Chinedu. I know Felix. I know him. I am confident about him that he is going to command. He is going to teach. He is going to express the value that are required in a family. And there is no any other better value than for that your wife and those your children to be godly. God, anywhere, anytime, expect godly children, godly wife, godly children. It is for this reason that God says that if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good work. And you see, I do not want to limit it to only pulpit ministry. It is actually said about that. But beyond that, I see it as every male man responsibility. That you are going to be a man who is grave. You are going to be a man who is sound and disciplined. You are going to be a man that your yes is your yes. And your no is your no. You are going to be a man that your words before your wife and children is as if it is the words of God. God has to help us to get to that level. When we said, my wife, this way will never work. Don't take that direction. And that she will argue and go and do it otherwise. And discover that that thing you said was the truth. That whatever you say is as if God was saying it. So that before you could talk, before you could proffer advice, before you bring counsel, you have already in your place of prayer have heard from God and therefore you speak. So that anything you do, it is not born out of selfishness. It is born out of the fact that God has said so to you. The male man. The man whom God looks forward and up to instill values in his immediate family and extended family. If God can get us to be correct, can get us to stand right, can get us to believe right, can get us to act right, he has already taken care of the family. Jesus said, he that made them from the beginning, made them male and female. Each time you see your wife, when you tell her, honey, don't worry. God will do it. Don't worry. This thing will happen this way. Do you hear your wife quietly say, what if it doesn't happen? Sometimes you think she's exhibiting unbelief and doubt. No. Her conservative nature always wants to look at the other option. But because of your leadership quality and ability, when you say this is how we are going, you are actually looking straight to that thing working. So that no matter what the blockage is ahead, you know that you will pass through. And once you see you confidently take that step, no matter what happens, you are not shifting ground. She will follow you with all confidence in her. But the moment she discovers, you are treacherous. You are treacherous. You act as a betrayer. You can easily back out. You will quickly come and doubt. Because God says that men should lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. Once that happens, when tomorrow you say, this is the way she'll go, she is cautious. She is not wanting to follow. Because the last time, it wasn't a good experience. So we must become indeed the image and the glory of God. Thank God that we go out there and labor and work hard and bring what they will eat. But if that is all that we do, I can guarantee you that we will all end up as failures. If all you do, whether you're able to give them good food, good school, good education, good health, you have not first of all instilled that image and the glory of God in them, you have given them nothing. Godly seed is what God is looking forward to see that you raise. And so, it is much more than they are bringing food. It is much more than you are giving them comfort. It is that you have been able to reflect and show before them who God is. They can actually say, they can actually look, they can actually see in you that God that every other person is looking for him somewhere. Are you that man? The last time I was talking to Ross about one brother in the Bible who is just a Sunday worshiper. He's always busy to the extent that he could not take responsibility for his sick child. When the boy said, my head, he said, take him to his mother. And when the woman was making effort to go to the man of God, he said, today is not the new moon. Today is not Sabbath. Why are you going to the man of God? Such a man. You cannot bring God's value in the family. When God spoke to them in the book of Deuteronomy, he told the men, they should constantly tell their children about the law. When they are working with them, when they sit with them, and when they are doing anything, God's law must always be in their children. How do you think God says, train up a child in the way he should go? That when he grows, he will not depart from it. When God's word is coming from the man, brothers and sisters, it is a command. It is a law. It is as if God is saying it. It carries power. It carries authority. Especially when the vessel through which that word is coming is clean. We must not fail God, brethren. We must not fail him, brethren. Beyond our hustling, our running around, our doing our best to give them the best of the comfort of life, we must make sure that they grow and come up with godly characters. And there is no better place to see it and to watch it and to copy it than in you. If you look at our billboard, they show a man with a bottle of beer. It was before that we thought that people who used to come to church, they don't drink, they are not drunkards. But we found that it's not true. There are irresponsible men who are still drunkards and humanizers seated in the church. And I hope you are not here. You are such an irresponsible fellow. Everything you do is born out of selfishness. Nothing is done out of responsibility. And because it is you that must do it. A treacherous husband is the one that is not honest and transparent before his wife. Your words doesn't carry weight. Over the years, she has come to discover that you cannot be dependent on. You cannot be relied upon. You cannot be trusted. Over and over, your words fail. Your words are actually not coming to pass. When you say I meant it, he discovered that it was not so. We must be changed into another man today in the name of Jesus. We carry responsibility of instilling that value. God is still in the business of looking for the man. In the garden, he said, Adam, Adam, where are you? As if to say, where are you? That the devil was able to come and beguile this woman. Where are you? Where did you go? How did things go wrong in this garden? Where are you? Why are things collapsing and crumbling in the family? Where are you, brother? Where are you? What is your obsession in life? What occupies your time? What consumes the best part of your life? Where do you spend the best of your time? What are you about doing? What are you running around doing that the serpent found his way, took such a time, discussed with this woman, beguiled her? Which gate did he follow? When you are supposed to be the man at the gate. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are the gatekeepers. The male man is a gatekeeper. And as you sit on that gate, you don't sleep, you don't slumber. You are alert and aware. Even when the wife and the children are snoring and slumbering, you are wild awake. Because as long as you are standing, as long as you are watching, nothing goes wrong. The devil knows that you know him eyeball to eyeball. You know him in and out. Because you are the one who received the commandment. You are the one that is passing it. So he knows you know what you are talking about. If he is able to engage you in other things, therefore your alertness, your sharpness, your consciousness, and your right standing is shifted to other things that doesn't matter, then he can come in. He doesn't come in when you are alert. When he came to our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the tricks he tried, he found that our gatekeeper, the Lord Jesus Christ, the husband of the church, was standing strong. He said, the prince of this world cometh and found nothing in me. If he was defeated, the church will have remained defeated. He did everything he do to make sure that our gatekeeper, our defender, our protector to fall, but he did not fall. Thank God for his son. And we are his image and reflection. We are the radiation of the glory of God. Through us and in us, God is expressed. Don't you ever be found covered in shame. Don't you ever obscure that your head. God is looking up to us, even tonight. God has high hope and expectation on us that he knows us. We are going to command. Are you the commander in your family? Are you the one that runs things? Are you the one that dishes out godly instruction? Are you the one that is actually keeping the gate? Are you the one that quickly takes you to the Lord in prayer and said, my wife, my children, don't worry? You know, when the wives went to sleep, Jesus Christ looked at them and said, sleep on and take your rest. But he himself went a step further and was agonizing. And was organizing. And was organizing there. And these ones were praying, were sleeping. He came out and paid the price. That if the prince of this world knew, he will have not attacked the prince of glory. Values. We have children, some of us. And I can tell you the truth. We cannot run away from who our wives are. Anytime we say, my wife is bad, my wife is that, you are only saying who you are. The responsibility of washing, of cleansing her, so that you can present it to yourself the way you want it, lies with you. Any man that wants his wife to be presentable, only him will present her. Nobody will make your wife presentable than you yourself. How far you want her to look, it is how much investment you have put there. The Bible says that he loved the church. He washed her. He cleansed her that he may present her to himself, a glorious woman, having no spot or wrinkle. So when we find spot and we find wrinkle in that woman, and unfortunately you are the one even raising the alarm, you should be ashamed of yourself. Actually, you should be crying and saying, Lord, I fail in my duty. I fail in my duty. I fail in my response because I am supposed to present this woman spotless and wrinkless. That is how Paul says, so men ought to love their wife, even as Christ loved the church. You see why we will not look at it from an Igbo cultural perspective. We will not look at it from the American culture. We will not look at it from the Yoruba culture. We will only look at it from God's own value. When it comes to the children, it was the male man God was instructing. Fathers, he said. Fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Please, brothers, let us learn to be honest with our children that have turned teenagers. Some of us are not honest with them. Some of us don't appreciate the daily challenge they go through. We want to shut them up. We want to shout them down. We want to school them and gag them. It doesn't work. Unfortunately, many children of believers are actually an opposite reflection of who they are supposed to be. Why do you hide your growing up days to your son? You will not only teach him the things that God said, teach him the things that you yourself, God said, you disobeyed and the consequence, and therefore, don't take that part, my son. Bible says, we should bring them up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. We should tend. We should care. We should be able to have them become our friends. We should be able to allow them to have confidence in us. There was a brother, when his wife traveled, he'd call his two sons who are in the university. And he told them that, since mommy is not around and the girls are not around, we are going to be discussing sex. He began to talk to his sons what sex is, how God look at it, what God expects to come out of the union of the man and the woman, and where God finds fault with it, the pleasure it is driven from it. He was open, he was frank, he was sincere. He allowed the children to ask him any kind of question they want to ask. When he was when he has finished satisfying all that they need to hear, those children are eternally armed with information that somebody out there cannot tell them otherwise. Because the first-hand information is from their father. These things you bury and bury and bury and bury and say it doesn't matter. And you shout without actually showing the correct things, you have not helped the children. You must be frank. You must be open. My son is 12. Right from 9. Things I did at the age of 9, I used to tell him. How I got it wrong. How that if I have done it differently, probably I could have not been where I am. Except for the mercy of God. Which cannot even make up for that failure. So that if you want to jump this way, this is how you must go. And it is up to you, my son. The decision is your own. The choice is your own. Nobody can choose your friend for you. Only you can choose who your friend is. And I told him, if you ever want to pursue godliness, nobody pursue godliness alone. Godliness is pursued by those alongside those who call upon the name of the Lord in holiness and in fear. That was what Paul told Timothy. He said, but pursue godliness with those. I told my son, those are the friends you keep. Because the Bible says, bad company. So I told him, it is not because you want to do what is bad, but because you keep bad company, Bible says, they will corrupt whatever morals I put in you. So if you will help yourself, select your company. Be very careful of the choice of your company. Praise the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke the children. Don't be harsh. That's what the Bible is saying. Don't be hard. Don't be that serious man all the time. Don't be that man that you are just shouting rather than shining. Sometimes you come to the level of the person, relate and flow with him as a friend, even though you are a father. Whatever step you take, it is easy for him to follow it. That way, you will have guided him whereby, when the Spirit of God take over the life of this boy, there is little or nothing he will bother about learning the rope of the Christian life. But until us ourselves as male men have submitted ourselves under the yoke and the discipline of our God, whom we are expected to reflect his image, we will have nothing to offer. Turning us into another man. May these 2 days achieve it in our lives in the name of Jesus. God said, we must learn to dwell with our wife according to knowledge. And I asked myself, what knowledge? So the woman herself is a bundle of study. You must study her. You must know who she is. You must know her makeup. You must understand her disposition. Many of us men, our approach. There is a woman here. Okay. Because of what I want to say, praise the Lord. Our approach to sex with our wife is not commendable. Most of us think that showing affection to the woman is having sex with her. It's far away from it. For the woman, affection, showing her affection, is a need in her life. It's not what she wants. It's a need. And it is not, first of all, sex. How you are wired and make up is different from how the woman is. For you, you can easily be aroused by looking at her. For her, it is by hearing you. You need to talk to her. Talk to her. Talk to her. That is where she could be open. But you say you are not submissive. How do you enjoy this act? When the woman just opens her leg and says, oh, yeah, let me sleep. Do you feel okay? Sometimes you even wake up with a guilt. And even in the course of the act, you see her crying. So many times she feels she is raped. Because for you as a male man, you carry seed. No preparation needed for you to go into that act. You are always ready and ready to go all the time, anywhere, anytime. The woman is not so. Dwell with them according to knowledge. You must know her. One brother asked me a question one day. He said, "Brother, have you ever raped your wife?" I said, "No." He now asked me, "Have you ever forced her and have sex with her?" I said, "Yes." So he told me, "Is it different from rape?" I said, "It's not different." He told me that 80 to 90% of Christian brothers have done that. Have you done it? Have you ever forced your wife to have sex? She was not ready to say, "You must." You, after a long fight, you force and have your way. Please raise your hand if you're here. Be sincere. Nobody there? Raise your hand now. Let me see your hand. It was not a willful consent. It is that you had to talk and talk and force your way. And so after, when she got tired of refusing, she just said, "Okay, since God said we should submit," she just let you have your way. Has it happened to anybody here? Have you done it? Don't look at me like that. Have it happened? Only one man is raising hand. No. Are we really sincere here? Do we want to know? Put down your hand, don't worry. God bless you. It is not because the woman doesn't like it. It is because you have not been able to know her makeup. We are always ready to go. And it has caused conflict in the home. For her, she wants to hear you talk to her. She wants to hear that reassurance. She wants to be able to get intimate with you and hear you. And you talk to her and talk to her and talk to her. Maybe hours. When she has onboarded everything and you are listening to her and you are contributing, you have had access to that woman. She is not moved by your sight. She is not moved by the fact that you stand naked. There is actually nothing that looks attractive to her. But everything about her is attractive to you. And you are always on the go. She is not so. You don't have a cycle. She has a cycle. You carry millions of seed every day and always ready to discharge. It is not so with her. A cycle brings it. So, to be able to maintain a good sex relationship with your wife, learn to be a listening husband. Learn to be a talking husband. Learn to be a tolerant husband. With her, it is not the issue of express. She wants to talk. She wants to keep talking. And she wants you to listen to her. And she wants you to respond. When everything inside of her is fully onboarding, then you see everything in her opens. You come from the church. After receiving a hot rebuke, the man, as soon as he gets out there, he can put that file of the book at the back of his mind. And if the next attention is desire for sex, he can turn on and turn off immediately. But for the woman, even when she leaves the house happy, and she's excited and looking forward to coming for, and it is intended it's going to be a great night, you'll be wondering, what upset this woman today? Once anything comes in and weigh her down, everything in our system is locked. Nothing responds again. And until you deal with that thing that brought that lockdown, you will not be able to have access. And because you are always ready on the go, she will just easily submit. So the act does not become what God looked at it, and it is a pleasure for both. It is one way for them. So God wants us to dwell with them according to knowledge. I started with that core matter. Because Many, many times, we react offensive, we react repulsive, we tend to fight, not really because the woman did any other thing, but because you didn't find that to be submissive in the way you want in that area. There is still a way of dealing with it. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Understand who they are. Study them. Know them. How God created them. And you will build it to every other matter that relates to a woman. Affection for a woman is a need, is not a want. You need to let her know all the time you are there for her. You care for her. And every step of your life, she is informed about it. You can share and discuss every detail that she needs to know. Once she could be able to repose that confidence in you, access to any part of her is always, she always look forward to it. Because now she's a relaxed person. Whether it is her money, whether it is her career, whether it is her body or any other thing for that matter. Because she has already gotten affection from you. Not first of all, the act. But if you do not come to know that, there is always going to be a quiet conflict. So the ungodly ones in the world have used it as a weapon to bewitch the men. They see it as a tool. They want to undermine and blackmail you through that process. But if you know who they are, I tell you the truth, submission for her, it is not hard. Only because if you, the man, have enough patience to be able to understand who she is and how she's wired to behave. God wanted you to mold that woman, to mold the children, so that they can be a reflection of God that you are before them. But God is still looking for that male man. And I believe with all my heart, over the years that we have been taught, God will have found us to be those men whom He Himself will say, I know Him. I know Him. I know Him. He is going to command His children. Because as He turns us into another man, He will have said, as they go now after this program, they are going to command their households. They are going to command their children. They are going to teach them justice and judgment. Don't ever obligate your responsibility. God have confidence in you. You are indeed the image and the glory of God. Please, brothers and sisters, we carry a responsibility anywhere we are, anywhere we go. We are the one God placed in the position of authority. We are the one God is looking forward to pass and flow the family values. You will go to the proverb, you read, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son, obey your father, follow his instruction, allow him to have his way in your life. They keep telling us that. Now we are grown up, we are men, and we have families. Please, let us not allow the devil to distract us. As much as it is wonderful and good that we must do all we are to make sure that we make the family comfortable, we make the family happy, we make sure that their needs are met, we should not do it at the expense of the most important thing God has raised us to bring about His image and His glory before that family. We can do it if God knows that you can do it and God has made you that male man. Grace from the Lord will come upon you today, will come upon you through tomorrow to be able to go out and express that value that God intended to have in the family in the name of Jesus Christ. May we not fail Him, brothers and sisters. May we wake up from our slumber. May we wake up from our sleep. May we realize who we are. May we take responsibility. May we agree with God for what He said we are. that we are men. We are men. And it is through us, his image and his glory is expressed to our wives and to our children and to our extended family. They look up to us. Our judgment must be single and fair. Our act of justice must be straight, and that we are found doing it. Because for the Lord Jesus Christ, he was both doing and he was teaching it. Please, do not be an absentee father. Don't always be absent. Don't commit all the best of your time away. You must create time for that family. Because God says, I know Abraham. And God is saying tonight, I know you. I know you. That's what God is saying tonight. I know you. That you will command your family. And you will teach them the family values. So that I will bring to pass whatever I have promised you. When we come praying and shouting before the Lord. Malachi chapter 2, as we notice, verse 13, when you go home, you read it, it said, I didn't hear your prayer. I didn't answer your prayer. I didn't take the offering because I am acting as a judge between you and the wife of your youth. I saw you dealing with her treacherously. You look as a betrayer. You have not been able to bring myself in you to bear before that woman. God tonight is able to rise us up. He's able to lift us up. We must not obscure our head. For the man indeed ought not to cover his head. Insomuch as he is, you are the image and the glory of God. That's who you are. You are the image and the glory of God. No amount of what the society is doing, however the society has collapsed, if we rise up to our responsibility, it is a guarantee in the word of God, we will all raise godly seed. Once we stand with that principle, if we agree that what God said it is true concerning us, and we seek his grace and mercy, we will flow and we will express the value of the family according to God's standards. That I believe with all my heart. God will bring it to pass in our life in the name of Jesus Christ. We must rise up. We must know the word of God. We must understand the word of God. We must practice the word of God. And we must teach the word of God to them, because I don't know any other value outside of the word of God. I don't know any other value that can work except the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. That is the secret. That is where the treasure is. That is where God expects us to stand. And we must become another man in the course of this program in the name of Jesus Christ. No enemy will succeed in your family in the name of Jesus. No devil will distract you with things that doesn't matter. I remember a king in the Bible. They gave him somebody to keep. It was a parable the prophet was telling him. And the man says, as your servant was busy here and there, the enemy that was in my hand escaped. And God was not happy. He told the king, you are the man. I placed somebody in your hand and you failed me. You see, we are looking at soul, whom the Spirit of God come upon. As I go further to look at soul, I don't know why. If you see the things he kept saying about his family, he went to one of his daughter. I know that you are not standing with me. Why are you loving my enemy more than me? He told the wife, he said, look at the kind of son you gave birth to, Jonathan. He blamed everybody except himself. If you read the life story of Saul, he blamed Michael, he blamed his wife, he blamed Jonathan. Everybody was at fault except him. Please, don't be that kind of man. Be a man who takes responsibility. When you are wrong, please, be honest enough, be humble enough, be man enough as a matter of fact to say, my son, my daughter, I am sorry. I didn't get it correct here. We must be men who can be sorry before our children. We must be men who can be sorry before our wives. That for me is a virtue in a man. It is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It's a sign of honesty. It's a sign of sincerity. How can I say sorry to a woman? How can I say sorry to these children? But you are at fault. Those of us that have 3-4 children, there was a day I beat my son for the offense that my daughter committed. And when he was crying, he was not crying because he was feeling the pain of the beating. No. But he was crying the crying of injustice. Because he has told me he didn't do it. He has told me he didn't do it. But somehow my mind went on him and I beat him for what he did not do. After the whole situation, something in me told me that I didn't do what was right. So I think it was in the family I said, sometimes because you keep lie and you didn't say the truth, somebody will suffer for what he did not do. I was very uncomfortable until my daughter came and said she was the one who did it. So I said, Joseph, I'm sorry. You're actually not the guilty person. And I recollect that his cry that day was not because he was feeling the pain of what I did to him, but injustice was done to me. I can only undo that wrong by saying, I am sorry, Joseph. My correction is that I meant well for you. And I hope you understand I am doing that not because I hate you, but because I love you. Although I didn't design right, simply because I didn't know. And I hope you understand. That doesn't mean that another day I don't beat that boy. I do that. But he realizes that I don't walk away and do as if nothing goes wrong. It used to register in the children. Whenever you take the wrong step, be honest enough before the family. Please own up. Don't act in such an arrogant manner as if you are the all in all and that nothing can happen that you will be the one that has fallen. When you are at fault, be honest enough. Be man enough. Be matured enough to own up. They will trust you any other time. But when it goes like that, that injustice in that child, anything you are doing, anything you are saying, when anything you are emphasizing, you say, well, that cannot be correct. If it were correct, the last time he beat me for what I did, how am I sure that this thing he's saying is true? Rebellion already is registering in that child. But when you own up and open up and say that word sorry and meant it from your heart, you have actually wired him. Not only for that moment, even he himself, as he grows, he will realize that there is a time he needs to say he's sorry. You have instilled a value in him. You have instilled a value in her. You have instilled a culture in her. This is how we must go about it, brethren. We must be another man. We must dwell with them according to knowledge. We must know them. God wants us to know our wives. God wants us to understand their disposition, their peculiarity, their makeup. God wants us to raise godly seed. God wants us to be men indeed. God wants us to be the reflection of his image. It is God's requirement of us. God wants to bring the Christian value to flow in our family through us. God is looking up to us that the family will stand, that the family will be correct. He said, if the man know not how to take care of his own house, how can he take care of the house of God? If the man know not, I think that's how the Bible put it. If the man know not, so we must know it. And that is why we gather in this program. So that the Holy Spirit will teach us how to know how to bring the family value to bear in our family. The program has a purpose. And I believe at the end of this program, we will be men that have turned to another man. We will be men that when we return to our family, they will see the changed man. They will see that image and that glory of God reflected in us. Shall we rise on our feet?
Hallelujah. See, I never finish. You never finish. But let's clap our hands for Jesus. While we remain seated. Amen. I told you when he will talk, he will hit some of us below the belt. For those who are sincere. Every day we learn. every day we learn. I told you, after this program, somebody will become another man. When you reach home, your wife will look, na dream have been not true. This man don't change you. Amen. We will take some questions. Certainly there will be some people that may want further clarifications or questions. This is men talk now, man to man. So if you indicate you have a question, can you ask your question now? Or forever? Come forward. Please give me the microphone there. Yes, give me a microphone.
Shalom, church. We are bachelors and we are intending to get married very soon. If I'm married, can I allow my wife to lead prayers in the family home with my children or with our nanny? Can I allow my wife to lead prayers? Or another second question is, maybe if we have a fellowship. Actually, somebody asked me this question, my fiancée. They have a fellowship overseas. So, the people they are staying with cannot lead prayers. And she's a member of this church. And they have been liking her teaching. They love the way she teaches the message, the way she's dressing. So, they always tell her to lead prayers. So, she says she cannot do it. That he has heard from you, Pastor, that a woman should not lead prayers. And he has been asking me as well that I should ask this question to know what we can do. So that is my two questions, Pastor. Thank you.
Oh. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
First of all, you said, if you marry, is it right for you to allow your wife to lead the family altar?
Yes.
Of course, yes. In your presence, you could ask her to lead the family.
Okay.
After a while that you have led, you also want her to learn from you.
Yeah.
So, the only way to learn is for you to give her the right to. Most times, I allow my wife to share in the family. To be able to know how she goes about her instruction.
Okay.
So, after a while, I will talk with her also.
Okay.
This way and this way, because you will travel sometimes. You will be away sometimes. So, the family has to move on. So, what she has learned and seen in you, she also pass it across.
Okay.
If it is an extended family, why not she would do it? But you are also asking another question that has to do with leading prayer. I do know the setup you are talking about.
Yeah, it's a sort of a Christians. They don't know where to fellowship. They are living abroad. They don't know where to fellowship. So they always call her, and she travels very far to go and meet them. So after meeting them, she cancels them and teach them on what to do. So they love her so much. Even the men there don't even understand where she gets all these inspirations from. So they always tell her, please, can you lead us in prayers? Then she said, no. Whereas you men are sitting down, how can me, a woman, lead in prayer? Because she said our pastor doesn't accept that. So,
now you get microphone.
Praise the Lord.
You are our teacher today.
Now, it is not first of all a church there.
No, it's not a church.
They just gather together.
They gather
to admonish each other, to talk to each other. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
I don't see where she has strayed there.
Okay.
If you say that they are gathered as a family to pray.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
And then she instructs, just like my family, sometimes I have my elder ones or my brothers that come together.
Okay.
Because that has been our tradition.
Okay.
I let my wife also teach us, talk to us. That is a family that we gather.
Okay.
He's not taking that leadership role as it stands out in the word of God.
Okay.
But once it turns out to be a church gathering, definitely there must be the male man who will take the responsibility of leadership in that place.
Okay, thank you.
God bless. Next person.
Sir, please, I just want to know, in the course of your teaching, you told us that we should open to our spouse, that is, we should open to our wife to build a good Christian home. And my question is that, should a man tell his wife everything That's just one question. Should a man tell his wife everything? Because why I ask you a question, that, the point is that I find out some women, if you decide to tell them everything, maybe say, okay, look, let me build a Christian home. Let me tell my wife everything about maybe my family, myself, you know. Sometimes it causes problem in the home. So I want to know, should we tell our wives everything as Christian family?
Praise the Lord.
Jesus Christ said, I do not call you servants. I call you friends. And there is nothing that he hid from us as the church. Because he actually have nothing to hide. So, scenario differs. Based on who you marry and the setup you are. There are certain things, not because you don't want to know, but for her sake and for the sake of her growth, she needed not to know. But whatever will concern the family and has the interest of the family, then there is nothing you should hide from her. Whether it has to do with what you earn, or what contract you have won, or what that it is that bothers you, you share it out with her. That you are afraid she's going to use it against you, it's not the reason why you cannot be. But in saying out all of that that relates to the family and her, you have actually saved yourself from her looking at you as a questionable person, as somebody who has something to hide, because now she will become suspicious. Because that thing that you never shared from her, if another person knows, somehow if it comes to her ear, it is better she hear from you first than she's hearing from another person. Because by the time you say, well, I meant to tell you, I should have told you, so you have created doubt in her. So anything that relates to the family and to the family value, then she needs to know. But if you have a position of responsibility, like say a pastor, there are many things that does not concern her, and she needed not to know, and therefore cannot know. So when we say everything she needs to know, everything that relates to the family, because she's already one with you, she ought to be in the know of everything. Because you yourself, she owns you. She herself, you own her. And therefore there should be transparency among you people. Say the man and the woman were one, and they were naked, and they were not ashamed. There is nothing you should be ashamed of telling her. There should be that nakedness and openness in all matters that relate to the family. Have I answered you?
I have a question for you for further clarification. Give an example of something, for instance, you will not want a wife to know.
So one other question is that, like, sometimes, you know, maybe you relate a family issue to your wife. Maybe you want to be open to her so she will know some family issue. Maybe in future, maybe she may use it maybe to, you know, maybe to make Jesus of it, that kind of something. So I decided maybe there's an issue.
Further to what Pastor Weston said, the truth is this. Your wife should know everything she needs to know. Your wife should know everything she needs to know. And what she does not need to know, there is no need to tell her. I think that guides everything. Because there is unnecessary talk. I think what should bother my wife is she and me and what we do within us. Anything that concerns my father and great-grandfather and the history of my family, if I ever tell her what do I want to achieve, why should she know it? If there is a reason why she should know it, then tell her.
That's right.
But if there is no reason why she should know it, then you shouldn't tell her. Let me give you an example. If everybody they run mad for your family, you should tell her. So that the day you yourself begin to run mad, she will know that their family matter. See your family. So you see why I say she needs to know. So that when there is a manifestation in that area, she will understand and know how to contend it. I hope you understand. We are men now. She needs to know. Now, a woman called me about a month ago from outside Lagos, from Abuja, and said, there is something, after hearing us on air, there is something that is disturbing her. That her mother was a prostitute. And she was born from prostitution. And that when she grew up, she gave her life to Christ and pulled her mother out of prostitution by preaching to the mother, prayerfully. God answered the prayer, and her mother gave her life to Christ and became a Christian. It was in that Christian estate that her husband met her. The young man met her. And we want what of your father? And all she will say is, my father left my mother, I don't know where he is. Told him some other story. Because now she's calling me. That after hearing this, she's feeling condemned. Should she tell her husband that she's a product of a prostitution of her mother? And I asked her, why does your husband need to know that? Why must you tell her? Are you, even if you were a prostitute before yourself, now you are a Christian, does your husband need to know that you were one time a graduated, qualified, professional prostitute? How does it help the relationship? I said, if there is a need for it, then tell him. But if there is no need, why do you want to tell? And they have been married for 8 years. I said, sister, that is not the kind of confession we say we should confess. You will not confess the sin of your mother, you will confess your own sin, your own. Were you a prostitute before? Is there anything that happened in the time of prostitution that if your husband found out now and things like that? That is not it. And she thanked me. She said, now peace has come upon me.
Amen.
Simple. So, if she doesn't need to know, because you rightly said, you should know who your wife is. If your wife is a woman of wisdom and maturity, and then there's something in the family that is happening that you need her to know to advise you, then you tell her. That's why I said, why is there a need? Does she need to know? If not, you tell one woman one thing one day, hey, any day she begs, see you. God bless you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Pastor, there is a question I want to ask. Is, you see, I wasn't around when the whole this thing was starting. I just came in. But I had something when you was talking about relating with your wife. In this estate of relating with your wife, you found out that you are not the type, you are not the type of person that always talk. You understand what I mean? Or you talk but you don't talk too much. In that area, you found out that has been problem between you and her. What will you do?
Praise the Lord.
Those of us that have car, when our car doesn't have petrol, do we drive the car to the fuel station and buy fuel? Before we buy, is it because we drink it? We buy the fuel for the car because we need the car to function for us.
It is for the sake of the car to function. That is why we buy the fuel. It is not because we love fuel or we like to drink fuel. The fuel is not for us. It is for the car. And as the fuel gets the car, so the car function well and help us. That you are going to talk with her and you are going to listen to her. We men by nature, we are very, very brief. Women by nature are detailed. If I go back to just now, and my wife asks me, how was the program, how was the meeting? In one word, what do I say? Fine. But she knows it is fine. But it is not fine she wants to hear. Because if it was not fine, I would have not come back. So, but if the woman comes back and says, how was work today? Or how was the market? How was the fellowship? Ah, hey! If you see what the pastor did, if you see the trouser he wore, if you see one brother, she will not say fine yet. She will be telling you all other things that really is not relevant. Affection requires that you will be patient and give as much attention to listening to her and participate in that. That way, you have made her useful to yourself. Because you by nature don't like men are like that. It's a fraction. But for the sake of that relationship, but because now you are with her now, you do that thing not because you want to, but because if you do that, it will make her function as a woman properly for you. That is why you do it. So when I say fine, she will also ask another question. So over time, come to know that you try to say what you need to say around that she just needs to know. That way she too, she will now talk. That is what opens them up. So just because you are not the talking type, does not mean that you are not going to attend to her. At least be a good listener and participate in the discussion. Because communication brings bonding. It is one of the good channels that you can create and bond. And why not we learn to actually relate with them? That is where the knowledge comes into it. When we realize this is who she is and we want to get the best out of them, we do this thing out of our way simply because we want to get the best out of the woman. Have I answered you?
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
But there is another one. It's okay. A little thing that I want to know.
Hello.
It's a very serious one.
Okay, there's a caller coming. Hello. Brother Paul from Spain. Hello, speak on.
Shalom, George.
Shalom.
My question is that I want to ask a question concerning whenever I'm fasting, then my wife always sometimes wants me to help her in domestic work. So I always told her, no, the time of fasting, I don't need to, I need to stay indoors. So sometimes the thing we like to bring some little misunderstanding. So I was told that is my time of fasting. So I want to know if it happened like that for quarter not to come, do I break the fasting or if she don't understand? Because if she don't understand, I try to carry on. My spirit don't always at rest. So I don't know how to cancel her, but of the recent, she is coping. But I want to know if I should continue like that. That's why I asked the question. Thank you.
God bless you, Brother Paul. You see, when it comes to fasting, as relating to the man and the woman, the Bible talks about consent. Let it be by consent. Because there are, beyond even cooking or other menial things, when she knows, she will already be able to know her limit of request. When you also know, you will also be able to know the limit of your request to her. Whether it is towards your conjugal right or other matters at his lady home. Once she knows that you are going to go on a 3-day fast or she's going to go on a 3-day fast, vice versa. If she is the one going for it, you will also understand. If you are the one going for it, she should also understand. If it is both of you that are going to eat for it, you have now both understanding only. So, if you are going to go on a fast and you let her know and you discuss with her that these are the things you will not be engaged in, or I will need to be away from all of this society because I need to wait on the Lord, I believe she will understand. But if you don't let her know you are going into it, she will come and make a demand out of ignorance. But when she knows and she notices where your boundary will be in the course of the fasting, I believe she will understand and give you the space, especially because I believe she's a Christian herself.
Assuming she's not a Christian.
Now, if she's not a Christian, that is a very difficult situation for you. Because first of all, as your wife, she owns your body. You own her body. If you try to make her to understand and she does not understand, and those things that you want to help her in doing, and if those things you want to help her in doing, it is something that will enhance the family growth, family union, and family fellowship, then sacrifice come in on your own part. As much as you could receive grace to sacrifice that. But that if it's not going to be so, there are certain situations you will have to say no. Because while you are even going in the fast, she may not understand at that time. But in the interest of the family itself, by and by she will know why you insist on standing to do this thing, to make sure that the overall interest of the family is taken care of. Because she is an unbeliever, she will understand. You will not keep yielding to all of that to her. Praise the Lord.
God bless you, Brother Paul from Spain. Yes, brother.
Second question is this. Maybe between you and your wife, when it comes to the area of food, you are the one that loves food. You eat food, we are swallowing things. But she does not eat. To eat food becomes a problem to her. Either buy this, you know, all this stuff. And after everything, you find out that this has become a problem between you and her. And every evening you try to know, confine on her, on what she will eat, in order that that night, there will be peace. And every time you keep on begging to, you know, to seek the, to know the right thing that she wants, but then you found it out that it became difficult for you to find it out. Before you can find that, maybe you too, as man, now you might be angry on the process because you have tried more than you can to seek information from her so that you can settle the matter at time. In this area, what will you do? Because it has been now a problem all time.
If I understand you, you are saying that maybe, for example, you love eating yam and oil. She doesn't like it. Is that where you are going? Or you love eating much food. She doesn't like eating.
You love swallowing food.
Okay.
She is not the type that eats swallowing.
She eats rice.
She eats rice, spaghetti, all this stuff.
And so let her eat the spaghetti and the rice.
Not eating it is the problem.
Okay.
Maybe she eats rice this night. Tomorrow, you are trying to ask her, what again do you want to eat? She will tell you that she does not know. On the process, this keep on, you two keep on dragging.
Praise the Lord. You know, we are men. Let's be very frank to each other. Sometimes, some of us are very petty. You are not talking about some small child at home. You are talking about an adult. You are policing an adult. Why are you not eating? Now you get problem. Maybe she get problem.
No, Pastor. Even, Pastor, if you try to sleep after just one action, my dear, what do you want to eat? She did not answer. You try to go to sleep without attending to her.
Excuse me. Are you talking about your daughter or your wife?
I'm talking. Okay, let me just be serious. I'm talking of my wife.
No, I'm just using that. You're talking about a wife.
Yeah.
That's why I say so. You didn't understand me. Is it me we ask my wife what to eat? Now me they cook for house. Or now the wife go ask me what I will eat. Is it the wife that will ask me, what are you going to eat after I have, you know, been busy all day, come home? I'm supposed to meet her to give me food. Or I will come from outside and meet her again and then ask her what I will give her. You told me more rich like that. I don't understand that.
No, Pastor. In every family, every man has his own price to pay. Or you have one thing to the other to face. Why am I saying this?
In your own case, you are the one that cook for your wife.
I am not the one.
Because
the reason is this. Because she has already provided the one I will eat.
Uh-huh.
Now, if I ate that food finished and sleep without she eating, this thing will bring problem.
If I understand you, she prepared the one you will eat, then you prepare the one she will eat. I want to really understand you.
Pastor, I'm saying my problem here. I'm talking of what I'm seeing. I said, I want to know how to stop this.
This is how to stop it. Make sure there is enough food stuff at home and give her the freedom to eat what she wants to eat and give you what you want to eat. Simple. That is the solution.
That's all.
Okay.
God bless you.
Shalom, my pastors.
Man.
It is becoming
I suspect something.
Yes.
Come back, sir. I suspect something because I'm trying to understand you very well. I think you leave instruction at home that today this is the food that we shall eat. And she does not want to eat the food. And you did not give room for her to eat, to feel free, to prepare for herself. So since you are the one that dictates what is to be eaten, she will do your own, and she's waiting for you to talk the one way she will eat.
No, sir.
If it is not so, then there is no problem. Ensure that she has enough money to eat what she wants to eat, but she should also give you what you want to eat. She cannot.
Thanks, sir.
Next person.
Shalom, brothers. I will start with my son, which I cherish so much. But recently, I begin to find out.
Talk to microphone, please.
I begin to find out some situations that is more like, you know, I find difficult to handle. Things like, because he's in secondary school, you know, each time he comes back home with a different attitude or different characters. And as you're discussing about this one, tomorrow you see another thing. But recently, the one that is more like troubling me as a Christian is lying. You know?
You cannot talk to microphone.
Yeah. Lying. He lies and you want to collect him. He will keep telling you that this is how it is. But eventually, at the end, you see find out that he lied. So I really want to know scripture how I'm going to help him to be able to come out of that problem. Then the second one is a difficult one, but I still have to ask it for because I want to learn. If you have a wife that is not feeling the way you feel concerning relationship in sex, maybe you want it 3 times in a week. And she doesn't even like it at all.
Hello.
God bless you, Brother Paulo. Go on.
Can I go on?
Yes.
Okay, my question is this.
Go on.
As a pastor, I'm born again. Hello?
We are listening. Go on.
Okay, I am a pastor. And I believe I am a child of God by His grace. Okay. And I am 38 years today. So I discovered that for the past 8 years I've not known who my real father is. I've not known who my real father is. You know. I came to discover that the supposed father I call my father was not my biological father. You know? And I came to discover my original father. I came to discover my biological father. And I had to open up to my wife the history of my life, and my mother got angry and connected from my life and said that I'm on my own for now. As a pastor, am I supposed to cover the sin of my mother and not to let my wife know that the man my mother told me is my father was never my father? You know. What am I supposed to do as a pastor?
God bless you, brother. If I understand the question, he says, the man he thought that was his father, after some time, he discovered that it wasn't his father. His mother came to tell him that another man was his father. So he's asking, should he now tell his wife whether that man that he has always thought was his father was not his father? I think that was his question. So my answer, Brother Paul, is that none of us have a choice as to how we come to the world. Nobody has a choice through which family you come, and how you are given birth, it is not in your control. It is not you that decides it. So that it happens, so it was not your fault. That your mother also hid it from you for whatever reason that she hid it from you, again, it's also not your fault. So, like the pastor said, if you think your wife need to know that all the while the man you thought was your father wasn't your father, by all means, tell her. But if you think it is not necessary and it will not be an issue for her to know, you move on with your life, because you are already a man now and running a family. I hope that answer satisfies you. God bless you.
Amen. So I said, If I have a wife,
excuse me, let me take your first question concerning your son, who you discover that he tells lies a lot. You and me and all children, naturally children growing up, the first thing you notice about children is the spirit of hiding, cover up, and that goes with lies. That we are going to be instilling this value as much as we can do it until God himself converts them, born them again. The natural birth and other training that they receive from us only helps them and makes the Christian journey easy for them. But that does not mean that by those training alone we can make them Christians. Because man by nature is a liar. He lies and do any other thing. But as we train them and bring them up, we have only helped their Christian journey to be easy. When God himself meets them, then you see that they are now living the life of Christ, which is devoid of lying. So in this situation, what I will say to you is that as much as you have corrected him and talked to him, take you to the Lord in prayer. Your prayer is that, God, encounter my son. The way you encounter me, and I stayed free from lying and all other vices, you have to encounter my son. And when God does that, coupled with the training you have taught him, then you will have saved his life. I will give an example. I have my daughter recently, like for the past 4 years or five, she started stealing. And that was terribly embarrassing initially for me. How could my daughter, we will miss money in the house here and there, here and there, here and there. And I was beating and beating and beating and beating and correcting and talking and all of that. But it wasn't working. Long before I realized it, they reported that she stole in school. And so it becoming shameful and embarrassing. But I was trying to go hard because my wife has a point. She was angry that she would disown the girl and all of that. She wanted to curse her. I said, no. There is another way we will go about it. And that is, let's go on our knees. Because this thing, first of all, the enemy wants to use it as a reproach against us and against the ministry. And so if God brings this ministry, God will have the power to be able to deliver that girl from there. So we turn it to a prayer. We begin to commit it to God that God himself will break her down, because we notice that it's not just a casual habit. It's a spirit that was behind it. So we must address that spirit by the power and the authority of the word of God. So this is what I will advise you. Despite you are caning him, you are talking to him, make sure that you are crying to God for the Almighty God to meet him, to give him that Holy Ghost, to convert him, to change him. And that way, you will see a different man. God bless you. What's the second one?
Second one is, if I, as I have a wife, but in relationship like sex, it is not the same. Maybe like me, let me use that as an example. Like me, I always want it. But she's not the type. You know, it has been a problem here and there. And yes, right where I'm taking it into prayers, but practically, I need something to be done. How to
test? I don't know if test is allowed, man.
Rachika. Ginika.
I'm Jennifer Orike, calling from Liverpool.
Go on, we are hearing you.
Yeah, my question is, if you have a wife, and the wife told you that the marriage is by mistake, hello?
We are hearing you.
And the marriage is by mistake, that she married you by mistake, and she can do without you, and you have tried everything possible as a Christian to please her, but no way. And she cannot obey your word as a man in the house.
What's your question?
Hello?
So what's your question?
Hello? Okay, yeah. My question is, in this situation then, what will you do as a man?
God bless you, Brother Ginika. If I understand him, over the years in the marriage, the wife come to tell him that the marriage is a mistake. And she made a mistake in marrying him. She didn't say so from the beginning. Probably in the course of the marriage, there are things she discovered about you. There are habits and behaviors about you that she did not initially see that you are manifesting, that would have made her to say she made a mistake to have married you. And therefore, if she can undo it, she will have undo the marriage. And so the house now become very, very uncomfortable for both of you. If that is the scenario, then I will say that if such are the traces she found, and she have clear evidence to show you, and she is telling you of the things you are doing that have led her to say this thing, then you need to repent and change and become another man that God wants you to be. But if that is not the case, if you are a Christian and you are standing in the principle of God, and your wife comes up and says that marriage is a mistake, probably because of your Christian disposition that she cannot stand with, at that stage, the Bible says you will live with her as a believer. But that is to the extent to which you can stay with her. If she decides she does not want to stay, she wants to go, there is obviously little or nothing you can do. But even before then, nothing is hard for God to do. Take the matter to God in prayer and believe him to touch her, to see it in the way God wants to see it. If in the event that it was not any of your fault that is making her to say so, but because she cannot cope with your Christian standing, that's why she's bringing up this thing, then it has become a battle. You take the Lord in prayer for the Lord to change her. God bless you.
God bless you. Ginika, I will also add, the beginning of your solution to that It begins with solution to that begins with asking her, what do we do to correct the mistake? If it's me, that's what I will ask her. The mistake, you don't marry me. How do we correct it now? You don't enter. So how do we correct it? Then she begin to tell you what she expected or what she thought she was entering into. And then you see how you can make up for her disappointment. Which is what Pastor Wesley is saying. God bless you. But let me quickly add that that woman does not mean nothing. She's just her own way of expressing her frustration. If she wants to leave you, the woman will not even tell you, I know I'm married again. You will come home one day, she don't pack, go. Any woman that sees her son say, I don't like this marriage, I don't marry again, I don't marry again, nah, lie. She won't marry. If you want to confirm, say, make her help you, wear your box. She will change again, say, idiot, you wicked man. I know that is what you are waiting to happen. That is how women are. So you have to deal with them according to
knowledge.
God bless you. Ask your question.
My second question. I said, if I am the type that likes sex, and my wife doesn't like sex, and it has been bringing problems between two of us, how do I handle this? Because naturally, that is what is the problem that we are encountering over a couple that we are friends to. So, and the same thing I know relates with me. When he came and told me the story, I begin to consider again my own.
You did not hear this lecture. You did not, if you had this lecture, you will only go back and be another man. He has told you how to get them to like it. He took time to explain. He said, talk to her. Talk. Do you know this English word called romance, romantic? A man should be romantic. You don't just go and say, nay, open leg. Boom. You can't do that. You must get her into the mood. And so, he has taught us already. Brother, go change the style of approaching her. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Pastor, praise the Lord. God bless you, sir.
Any day you want to, brother, come. Copy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. If one, let me give you one, just one thing, try it. Any day you want to meet with her, since she's difficult, 24 hours before that time, you start to work on her. Go, that day be extra nice. That day, buy her some gifts. That day, just don't be yourself. She said, eh? If you want sleep, you just touch him. She will not resist. Because you have already caught her heart. But all of when I walk from morning to night, she's tired, she won't go rest. Then you send her, say, I beg. They told them, I mind. No. Then you say, this woman, they, no, it can't work. Can't work like that. Can't work. God bless you. Try it. Your story will change.
And to add to what the pastor said,
yes.
You see, The woman's heart is like a shelf. Ours is like a shelf. But bookshelf, you can arrange book. You see how they arrange them like that.
Yes.
And there are ones they arrange on top. You can just go to your wardrobe and remove a book. And you see they will just fall on each other quietly. You can shift it and return that book there again. Again, you have a shelf where they keep book on top of one another. Like that. If the book are up to 20, and you want to remove the 19th one, you want to pull it out. If you pull it by force, what happened to the ones on top? They fall off. So if you want to remove that one, you first of all take this one out, take this one out, take this one out, take this one out. Once you get to the 19th one, it will be easy for you to take it out. Now this is how the woman is wired. We the men are wired this way. We can remove sex now and return it. Quickly remove query and return it. Remove family issue and return it back. We can interchange our mind anytime we want. But for the woman, if what is on top of her heart is the school fees of the children that have not been paid, that is what have closed here. She wakes up, she thinks of it, she is bothered by it. But you are believing, well, that's a problem that can be solved, but that's not how they are. So, and if the next one is maybe her mother was sick and they just call her, and probably you have even worked on her throughout that day, but that phone call just came in the evening, you will speak about that. She is already withdrawn. So when you come, knowledge now comes in. You could read from her mood. Take the issue of school fees, you treat it. That one by talking, you keep treating it. You keep treating it. Her mind is opening and opening and opening upon it. By the time you get to the 19th one, you don't need to force it. It opens on its own. Knowledge will play out there.
God bless you.
Pastor, God bless you.
Bless you.
Please, my question is, as a man or as a minister of God, is it good for...
Can you hear me?
Go on, we are hearing you. Paul.
Hello.
Paul again from Taraba State. Paul from Taraba. Hello. God bless you. We are hearing you.
Hello.
Paul, we are hearing you.
Okay, my question goes like this, please. You see, I have a very big problem. A problem that I'm having now is this. Hello. So the problem that I'm having now is this. I love worshiping God seriously, but I'm always feeling laziness when it is time for my prayer. Sometimes when I will prepare myself that okay, today is the day maybe for fasting, I have to dedicate myself for that very day. Maybe even from 6 to 12. I will not be able to do it, and I don't know what is the cause of all this, and it's disturbing me.
You having problem with your prayer life, Brother Paul?
Sir?
You are having problem with your prayer life?
Yes, my prayer life. Always be lazy, but feeding myself, if I'm walking on the road, even if I'm in my house, always I pray, prayer will be in me. You understand? But when it comes to put it in practice, I always be very lazy on.
I don't know if I'm catching what Paul is saying. Paul wants to pray, but he finds out he cannot pray.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You cannot pray.
I cannot concentrate on that prayer.
You cannot concentrate on that prayer.
Scatter that my plans of prayer of that day that I even prepared for it.
Brother Paul, thank you very much.
Yes,
listen to me. Anybody that does not know how to pray, that person has no problem.
Yes.
Don't worry, the day you have problem, you will know how to pray. And that is the truth.
Yes, sir.
Now worshiping God is different from prayers. And to worship God is to extol him for who he is. That is worshiping God. But you talk of prayer when you want God to do something for you. And if you have nothing that you want God to do for you, then you have nothing to pray about. So don't worry, the day trouble come, you will know how to pray. God bless you. Let your heart not be troubled. Relax. God bless you. Yes.
So my question goes like this. As a man or as a minister of God, does it proper for his wife to lay hands of him, of the man, or when they are praying? Is it permitted for the woman to lay hands on the head of a man?
Your wife to lay hands on you and pray for you?
No. Yes, I say as a man.
Eh.
For example, maybe they are praying. I'm asking a question.
Okay.
Or as a minister, does it permit as a woman to lay hands upon the head of the man?
To pray for you? Yes.
No. Did you say for prayer or for anything at all?
No, for to lay hands on the head of the man.
My wife can be scratching my head. Is that what you mean?
No, to pray. To lay hands on my head.
And pray for you.
Yes.
Okay, sorry, sir. Do you have problem with her laying hand on your leg to pray for you?
No, sir.
Okay, the problem is the head.
Because why is...
No, the problem is the head.
It's a question, sir.
I'm asking, I want to understand you. She can lay hand any other place to pray for you.
No, why I ask the question? Because there is one time like that, a minister of God was pushing. Then he said something that she does not permit her wife to lay hands on her head. So that is why I'm asking the question.
But you would have asked him now, why will he not? Okay, let me hear. You know, our speaker today is... So the anointing is on him to answer questions.
Praise the Lord. I think it's simply prayer.
Yes.
She has it. Because when it comes to... Let's even look at it from the broader angle. Gift of healing.
Okay.
You know, it's not limited to the man. The woman can have the gift of healing. Gift of deliverance is a gift. Just like the gift of prophecy. That is only the five offices that relates to leadership that is out of the place.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So if her child is sick, or her son, or even her husband, I have had that situation. I have had one pastor, I think from Kano. He was really sick. And he just learned and said, my wife, please, lay your hand and pray. I want this healing to take place now. And she does it, and it happened. Two things have happened out of that. It has trained her to have the confidence in his absence. She could pray for the children. But it's like you are particular about head. It could be any other place. She may not necessarily have to lay the hand. So the issue shouldn't be that she has put her hand on your head. And therefore it has reduced you from being a man. No. It didn't reduce you from being a man. It is prayer she offers.
Okay,
is it clear?
Yes, thank you.
No scripture against that. No scripture against it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, what I want to ask of is about godly leadership, headship in a family. Because many of us, the wife brought us to know to Christ. And many of us are the women, the woman has been in Christ before us. Maybe I'm married from a Christian family and I'm not from a Christian family. So she will always take lead in whatever concerns Christianity in the family. And the children have known this because she leads everything. What then will be the position of the husband in the family now? Because the children, the family, believes she's the leader in whatever concerns Christianity in the house.
God bless you. Although this shouldn't be the ideal situation, it should have been that you, the man, should have been the head and should be spiritually so. But unfortunately, this your scenario, it does happen. And I remember it is either D.L. Moody or one of them, you know, his wife was very spiritual and she even had a church. He was a shoe shiner also, a shoe mender. And she was very deep and very spiritual, you know. And the Lord arrested her husband and brought him to Christ. And all the while, the revival will happen through the man. So when that immediately happened, because of her spiritual knowledge, since her husband now have come to Christ, she submitted herself to him and allowed him to take the lead. But in the course of his ministration, after that, when they get back home, she will say, "My husband, see this scripture, it should have been like this. See that one, it should have been like this. See this one, it should have been like this." I was praying for the anointing for him. And each time he comes, he takes the lead again. And before you know it now, the fire was transferred to the man. And that is because the woman, she has so much know God to realize that the leadership lies with the man. So although he didn't have that much knowledge, in her teaching him, she did it with humility, and she, when she knows that, now he could take the lead, and she fully submitted to him. So that situation used to happen. There is this brother, Charlie. His mother has a church. You know, very spiritual woman, and she has a church. So when he believes the end time message, he came and preached it to his mother. And because she's a spiritual woman and she saw from the scripture, she ought not to be pastoring the church. She ought not to be in that place. She resigned her pastorship from the church and allowed the son to take over the pastor of the church. And she submitted to the authority of her son as the leader of the church. So when the woman is spiritual and she's a Christian, she will have understood her limit and her boundary. So when that happens, she is not going to keep exacting authority on you. "What did you know? Shut up your mouth. This is how it is done. This is how it is done." That's a rebellious woman who only has the knowledge of the Bible. But if she is a Christian who has understood what the Word of God says, with time she will submit that authority to the man. Even though that wasn't the ideal situation, there was a sister like that. She has been praying to God for a husband. And then God went and saved a drunkard and brought him to the church. After a while, God told her, that's her husband, and he himself approached her, and she accepted, and they got married. So she told him, she said, "My husband, I know that you are young in the Lord. You didn't stay around alone. I have been serving the Lord for the past 20, 30 years. I know that when you go out there, a lot of these women will try to pull themselves around you, and they may try to mess you up. In case that happens and you fall, please, don't run away. Come back home, you will meet that your sweet wife waiting for you. I will understand." So she has been able to put the weight of her spiritual knowledge in him. And that man, because of that statement, anywhere he goes, because of that statement, he couldn't just fall. So that balanced. So now, if in the home you married her, and then because you are not from a Christian home, as you say, but now she is a Christian. Sometimes I even query, you are a Christian. How did you go to marry an unbeliever? A Christian woman marrying an unbeliever. Or except you are saying the brother is young in the Lord. She has been old in the Lord. She has grown so much in the Lord. And she's married somebody who is young in the Lord. So that way, you know, even his young ship, because that leadership role is on him. Over time of discussion, you will have easily pick up and take over the spiritual headship of the family. But if she is showing arrogance and displaying her knowledge, then her 10 years or 20 years of being of the Lord is all in vain, because she has not been able to transfer whatever that virtue is to realize her limit and place in the family. But of course, just because now she is trying to show you the way of the Lord more perfectly, she didn't do anything wrong. As long as you can picture humility and submission in her, she is on the right path until when you have matured to want to take over. I have a brother in Jos. I think up till now, he is scared of reading the Bible for his family. Each time they come to the family, he just become a discouraged, sort of. It is the wife. And the wife now came to me. She said, "Look, she is tired. Her husband wouldn't just lead the family. Everything spiritual, he would say, 'You pray, my wife. Everything, my wife. Everything, my wife.' And he comes to church, I call him. I said, the implication of what you are doing is both dangerous for yourself, for your wife and the family. Why can't you take responsibility and become the man? The little that you know, begin from there. Begin to teach your children from there. Take that your place, because there is a limit to where the woman can go as far as this is concerned. So, and for you to know that she cares about it, she reported the matter. And after much talking to him, he began to take responsibility. I gave him some books to read, and he took responsibility. And before you know it now, thing now blend up. So, if I answer your question, there is...
Pastor, there are some churches that women believe they have the same right with man at the altar. They go at the altar as the men go. So, to what we are having here is not what is everywhere in every other church.
Yes.
So, with that in a woman, transferring or adhering of walking into the way it's supposed to be is not with them all, especially women, because they will boast of who they are and where they are and what they have done. What have you done?
That is why the restoration ministry is here. That is why we are preaching the truth. That is why we are correcting the error. That is why the Bride TV exists. That is why the Bride Assembly and the Brethren here exist. To go out there and correct those errors. Some will submit, like I gave you testimony. Some will become rebellious and there is nothing you can do about it. But the truth is what we have just stated.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Let me add something here. When it comes to leadership, your ability to lead starts first by accepting that you are the leader. And when you don't accept that you are the leader, then you will become a follower.
That's right.
And so no matter how long your wife has been in Christ before you, you should do everything to take over the leadership. And one of it is study, to know what she knows. Know at least enough for you to lead them. Not as a pastor in a church, but enough to keep your family the godly way. And when a woman wants to lord herself over you, you should know scriptures that you will quote to check her.
Amen.
And when you do that, you assert your leadership. I am telling you this, you have to do it. I can give you two instances. One is in the ministry. When this church started, I never aspired to be the pastor. I thought mine was to sponsor the ministry. So, three other people there, they were the ministers, and we were just supporting them. Though I would come and preach, exhort, but I just felt I was just helping until one becomes a pastor. But as time went on, I became the pastor. When I was selected to be the pastor, it was not going to be easy for people who thought they were my spiritual leaders to subject themselves now to my leadership. So there has to be some conscious things to be done to let those people know I am now the leader. Not just an ordinary brother now, I am now your pastor. You were one time my minister, now I am your pastor. And you have to do something practical, something deliberate to assert that. Because it is not going to be accepted. It is human. So also, when I also had a problem in my office, the kind of people I was associating with, the kind of lives I was living with, my wife was warning me against those people. But I ignored her, and they are the people that put me in trouble. Now I am out. So there is the mentality that, hey, now because you don't take advice, now you enter that trouble. Now she wants to now take over directing me on what to do. Now, you went your own way, you failed. Now, say, listen to me now. So, and she was right, psychologically, she was right. So, I had to let her know that I went to prison, I came out
another man.
Amen. Those mistakes I made are just shaping my future. And not to see me as a failure, one who cannot think anymore. So, I had to do deliberate things. I mean deliberate. Deliberate, I mean deliberate. Until if we are driving and my wife says, take right. It's, even if the right is the better road, I will take left. So what happened? I said, how many drivers do we have here? How many drivers do we have here? Why you... And you say, I don't know where we are going. Not the house, I say, we don't go. Say, why are you showing me? Go here, go here. It was deliberate. And that would cause fight. From that moment, we reach house, no talking again. But I was doing it deliberate. Praise God. You have to do something to assert your leadership. And then one time he said, I noticed a complex around you. You think somebody wants to take over leading you. Then I say, if that thought comes to your mind, even simply means you are trying to do it. How do you think somebody will lead me? A woman will lead me. You know you can't lead me. So why do you think I'll be afraid that you want to lead me? That means you have the ability to lead me. You know you can't lead me. I'm just living my life. It was all deliberate actions to assert my leadership. You must do it in your home. Not by some draconian approach. Not by some fierce. You must do it in a way that you are known to be the leader. It happens like that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I take a decision as a man, and my wife questions it, and I only tell her, I say, I took a decision in my as a responsibility. Are you querying me for it? Are you saying I have no right to take a decision? I should have taken permission from you before doing it? Or I don't understand. Can you tell me why you are asking me why I did that? Now, when your wife knows that concerning leadership, you don't compromise it, she will be careful, whether it is spiritual or physical. Thank you.
Good morning, sir.
God bless you.
I'm directing.
Okay, you. Sister Ichoma from Lagos. Now, men program. Ichoma, you consider the hear what men they talk. Anyway. Ijoma says, Pastor, God bless you. That was a great teaching. Oh, great teaching indeed. Honestly, it's not only for the men, but for the women too. We are watching the program. My prayer is that our men will hear and practice all they are being taught and become a true image and glory of God in their homes. Ijoma, go and sleep. God bless you. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm directing the question to you on premarital sex.
To me?
Yes. Because you've been teaching on, you've been taking, what do they call, the I must marriage.
Yes, mm-hmm. For the singles.
Yes, for the singles. And one of the church doctrine, the Bible forbid premarital sex. Now, if it happens in a situation, of course, you say there should be courtship. But don't kiss, don't touch. Those things are abominable to them. Now, a man that picks a woman, he wouldn't kiss, he wouldn't touch, he wouldn't do anything contrary to the Bible. And they are taken to the altar, wedded, and going to the honeymoon. A woman discovered that the man is not a man, he's an impotent. And when the matter comes to your desk, how would you adjudicate the matter? Would you advise the woman to leave the man? or how will the matter be settled?
No, I think we have handled that. If you have been listening to my messages on marriage and divorce, I have taught, and that is scriptural, William Branham himself has taught it, that it is during the courtship period that you make one another, you know one another. If there is anything that the other partner needs to know that can help the person make a decision whether to continue or not, that thing must be confessed to the person, to the partner. If you hide it, and I've spoken it several times, one of it is impotence. If you are impotent, you must confess it to her. If she has no womb because of a medical condition, complication that happened, now the doctors remove the womb, she must tell the man. If the man or the woman had a child out of wedlock, you must confess it to your partner. If you don't do such confessions and the person gets wedded and discovers only after marriage, it is a marriage in deceit and it is null and void. Can divorce and go back.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you.
And God bless you, sir.
Bless you too.
This thing I want to say, there is argument on it. I just coming to Lagos, as I boarded flight to Lagos, reaching to Lagos, rain started, too much rain, and there is announcement on the flight that we cannot go land because of the cloud. We'll wait for the 15 minutes before coming down. So someone beside me.
Okay. Brother Sunday from Kaduna State. God bless you.
My question is that, please, I want to be very committed, especially in prayer and family. Thank you very much. Pastor, give a good morning, all of them. Please, committed. Exactly. So, I need your help from you people.
Can you talk to us through your telephone?
I need a prayer for you people, please.
Okay.
So you should help me, especially. To be well committed. So the reason why is that sometimes my business not allow me, especially in night prayer.
Okay, God bless you, Brother Sunday. You are requesting us to pray for you so that you will be more prayerful. Don't worry, the day your business go down, you will become a prayer warrior. Don't worry. Continue. God bless you.
What he's saying is that because of his business running around,
yes,
he can't seem to have time for his family.
No, it's a prayer.
Family prayer, yes.
Family
he's
prayer.
He's so tired. He cannot do family altar.
Okay.
It's because of his business engagement.
Okay. He needs to hear from you.
So, you have to create that time. You must create that time at whatever cost. Your spiritual life and the spiritual life of your wife and children come first, because what shall it profit you after you have gained the whole world through business for them and they become deficient in spiritual life and therefore lose their soul? So one has to give way for the other. You must balance it and create that time and raise your family in a spiritual way, that your business will not allow you it will not be a tenable excuse before God. God bless you.
Thank you very much. From Kaduna, Brother Sunday. Yes.
Praise the Lord. So I boarded a flight coming to Lagos. The question is this. When the flight cannot come down because of the too much of the rain, cloud, and the announcement has made in 15 minutes later, we should be hanging on. So someone that beside me, I said, no. I dreamed this in this flight has a problem. In fact, my life is into two. What I came to my heart is this. I said, upon everything, I didn't tell my wife anything about me. No account number. The people I borrow money, he doesn't know. I said, is it how I go like this? So we are waiting. People are praying and moving and praying. Some they are asking, calm down, there is no problem. So in 10 minutes, the pilot announced that we can land down. So when we came down, I met my wife. I said, come, enter motor. I just carry him, go from one branch to another. When I'm chilling, he just look at me. Say, are you okay? I said, I'm okay. I show him people I borrow money. I said, look at their number, phone number in case. So he came and touched my heart. He said, are you okay? He said, he will shout to. I said, okay, let me tell you what happened. I said, you know, the things I did, I don't used to tell you. I said, it's dangerous. Now look at what happened to us. Praise the Lord. So I want you to also advise our brothers. Because when I make this explanation, some men are still telling me, if they tell their wife their account number, they are finished. If they tell their wife they have social security, they are finished. So I said, okay, this opportunity for me to let you know so that you can advise our men more about this. Praise the Lord.
You have said it all. Amen. Thank God for bad weather in the air.
Amen.
Now you thought of dying. I hope you also thought of, if I die now, will I go to heaven or hell? These are all the thoughts that come at a point of danger like that. Amen. It's good to let the wife know what she needs to know. God bless you, sir.
Good morning, sirs.
God bless you.
I don't actually have a question, but I need a clarification. This continuous need, what the wife needs to know. What does the wife need to know actually? Because not what she wants to know, but what she needs to know. But when we look at Marion Branham, he has always used the natural to explain the spiritual things. I read one of his pamphlets, The Bat Pen. And when you look at natural order, you see that a counselor, most of you are counselors too as pastors, you need to know the history of a particular case. A doctor needs to know a history of a particular case. A psychologist and so on, they need to know the history of a particular case. Then why would the man ask the wife? She is a Christian, yes. She is a born again, converted. But all the same, there are certain threats that can always raise their head at any point in time. Maybe being a daughter of a harlot, like we are also talking it even in the church. Most of the church's denominations are daughters of harlots. And therefore, from time to time, they behave like their mother. So if this woman is a daughter of a harlot, why would the man not need to know that she came up from this source? Or maybe I go and marry, maybe my father took me to a particular village, a particular town which was not mine. And now I naturalized there. Then do I not need to tell my wife that actually I am not supposed to be of this town, because according to our system here, abroad, no, there's no such a thing. But here, it is our custom. I am from Nkwere, Imo State, and this is my origin. So, what I'm saying in effect, this need, mustn't it be clarified? What should the wife know? What should the husband know? Because if this is a bastard, if this is a daughter of a harlot, someday something might enter her head and she begin to complain, or the man complain, I made a mistake. Please, clarification, sir.
Just one moment, sir. Mm-hmm. Remember, we are talking about the Christian setting.
Yes, sir.
If a man be in Christ, is a new creature. We are talking about somebody who came by a circumstance that was not of her making. She was born out of wedlock. She was born from a union of her mother with a man that did not marry her. Is she going to, should that be a stigma on her? Now we come from a society that can stigmatize her. And we shouldn't allow anything that can stigmatize anybody be put on anyone when you are now in Christ. In Christ now, there is no osu. There is no bond, no free, no. We are all one. Our past that we confess to our partners must be things they need to know. Does he need to know who my mother was? That is between the mother and whoever will marry her. But for me, I am not a prostitute. She has never been a prostitute. That your father was a babalawo does not mean that you too one day you become babalawo. Why must I tell you that my father was a babalawo? It's even different if I was a babalawo and I'm telling you I was a babalawo. The reason you need to know is because some of the things I was doing at babalawo that I threw away before, maybe there is one I forgot. One day you will jam it somewhere. So you need to know in case you jam anything somewhere, you will know. Oh, if I'm explaining to you, now some of those things, why I don't tell you what I did before, I don't know, say it's still there. So she needs to know. But to begin to tell her, you see, my father is a babalawo, does she need to know that? Praise God. I think it should be what concerns her. Because we are talking about moving forward with your life and not going backwards. God bless you.
Shalom, sir.
Bless you.
Please, sir, my question goes like this. I married my wife when my wife was a born again. I'm a member of Catholic Church. So, according to the teaching I hear this, our pastor teach us.
So, now, what you are saying is Catholics are not born again, correct?
Sir?
Catholics are not born again.
You don't understand why.
Go ahead.
So, sir. So, according to what the teaching I had this night, he said that I should tell my wife everything she needs to know concerning me. So, and that time, I told my wife everything she needs to know concerning me and my family. So after we get married, do everything. This, my wife, I discovered that it's a Christian, a carrying Bible, he do everything. I discovered that it's not a Christian as I thought. Number one, if I say, don't do this, if that thing concerns his relation, I'm wasting my time. She will do it. Until we have issue. If my child will do something, I tell her, I caution that child or I beat that child. It will become a problem between me and her. So I tried this thing for many years. This thing is getting problem. So you know that time, I don't know God like this. I don't know this place. So we sometimes the thing enter fight. Because I'm trying to claim the man of the family. So when I see that thing is not working, the fight is not working, I go and complain to her father. From her father, I discover that her father said that even them, when they are small, the mother not allow him to talk to his children, to allow them to live the way they want. So my question now is that, can I allow my own family to be, for them to be like that as my father-in-law told me?
Praise the Lord.
You know, what I discover is that many men want to marry who they are not. They want the best of the woman when they are the worst of the man. While he wants to run around, but when he wants to marry while running around, he wants to look for a God-fearing woman. Let her just be in the home and be fearing God, while he himself is outside defying God.
Excuse me, sir.
I'm giving you an example. It's a general thing.
Excuse me, sir. This woman I'm talking about, when I discovered this place, he didn't follow me to come this place. It's by the grace of God, I begin to pray before she sluggishly following me. But upon coming to this place, he still remains what she is.
It's alright. We're not talking about her. Coming to this place is not the issue. What I'm saying is that most men, after they run around and misbehave, and even misbehaving, they don't want to marry those ladies they are misbehaving around with. When they want to settle down, they will be looking for a God-fearing girl, God-fearing woman.
Born again.
They want a born again. So that they can get somebody that they know that born again will easily submit, will easily obey. They can easily control because she fears God. He himself don't fear God. So I think in some of these cases, God has paid some of them in their own coin.
Choice.
Unfortunately, I hope you are not one of them. Because if, like you said, when you married her, you were not coming here. You saw her as a born again. And because now, how can you who is not born again actually know who is born again? With what measure will you use to be able to measure it? So you wouldn't know. So it's an unfortunate situation that although you have married her thinking she is born again, and particularly at that time you were not born again, now that you are born again, as it were, you are only realizing that she is not born again. So my advice to our viewers and to us that are seated here, like Jesus Christ will say, let us always do unto others as we want them do unto us. You know, if you want to go into marriage is not what we should rush anyhow. We should have understood it from God's perspective, and we enter it in reverence, prayerfully, and in the fear of God. When we go about it the godly way, it is easier to treat it. We will not be responsible for unbelievers' marriage. We are responsible for the Christian marriage. We are supposedly talking to Christian men now. But in your own case now, it's a circumstance now that unfortunately who you thought was born again wasn't born again. And as the time you married her, you yourself wasn't born again. Now that you are born again, you are discovering that she is not born again. So you have a responsibility now as the man now to wash her, to cleanse her, that you may present her to yourself a glorious woman, having no spot or wrinkle.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
The time I married her, it's not that I'm not a born again.
Okay.
But I'm a Catholic. Listen.
Ambiani.
That time, I'm always afraid of the law of God. Like wearing trouser, doing this, doing all these things, I'm against it. So, but when I marry my wife, I say born again, because I say I don't want to marry any girl that is not born again. Wait, I hope your wife is not watching us. Even if you're watching us, it's better. Praise God. So, sir, you didn't hear the counsel, you didn't understand the counsel of Pastor Weston to you. You are marrying an unbeliever. So you need a special grace to live with her. So you pray very well and ask God to give you wisdom to live with her. You have married her and you cannot divorce her on these excuses. So you will have to ask God for wisdom and the patience to live with her and pray for her conversion. That is the only solution. God bless you.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom. No,
my question is, if a man marries a woman that argues too much.
Argues too much?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean by argue? Now they do debate for house?
No, maybe you bring a suggestion.
And
she would like to argue. She always nagging. And if you don't do what she says, it becomes a problem. Maybe you bring a suggestion, she would like to argue it. Maybe you tell her something is happening that way, she will tell you it's not that way, it's that the other way. You know, sometimes those things bring problems in the family. How do you do well with her?
God bless you.
Thank you.
You see, a man is not a weakling.
Okay.
Like the pastor explained, you must assert yourself. You must come to the occasion. You must rise up to the moment. You must show that you are the man, you are the leader, you are the head. Therefore, you see ahead, you speak ahead, you hear ahead, and you reason ahead of her. Over time, she will come to realize that all of her argument, because now there is no way you could be bent anyhow, and that thing you proposed and said it should be, it always turns out to be the way it should go. Over time, she will submit. But if you are a weakling and wishy-washy, sometimes this woman, let me tell you the truth, consciously or unconsciously, they do this thing to be sure whether you are actually that man. In the animal kingdom, before a female bear or lioness or tiger will ever allow a lion to mate with her, they must decide it through a fight. You will see all the males will gather. There will be fight. It is the strongest that they will submit to. There can be 30 females there. It is only the strongest elephant that all the 30 women will now yield to. The reason is because they do not want to give birth to weak children. So for that male lion or male elephant or male tiger to be able to conquer and defeat the other bull that comes, that shows that the seed that he will put in me, he will come out tough. Her resistance is not because she doesn't want you. She wants to be sure what kind of seed is actually in your loins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
What kind of man are you? So when that push comes, you move that way. That push comes, you move that way. It will always continue. Not because she wants, but because, in fact, sometimes she'll be regretting. Did I really marry a man or a woman? So when you see that thing now, come rise to the occasion.
Okay.
And put your foot down. Not because you are a dictator, but that you are trying to set a pace in the family. And once you become unbending, not when it is obvious that you are really heading to the ditch, just because you wanted to be a domineering man, but because you want to set forth a leadership, before you know it, she will line up and say, now this is a man I can follow. Okay. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. To add, brother, I would argue with wife for us. Come. Amen. When I see a man argue with a woman, now the man get problem. argue. Sometimes not argue. Sometimes maybe we will be telling her. Sometimes, like my wife, sometimes she used to be harsh to the children. I would tell her, come down to the children so that you understand them. You don't need to be as if you are God in the house. Every time when you enter, everywhere be hot. Sometimes I need to rest. You understand? She will say that I'm spoiling the children. I said, no, it's not all about shouting.
Okay, so argument will start.
That is it.
But it also depends now. If you are correcting her in presence of the children, then you will receive a negative reaction from her. You cannot, she's rebuking the children, and then in their presence, you are saying, why would you shout at them like that now? Ah. Then you are adding fuel for fire. Okay. That would be wrong. You should find time to talk with her. Come. I observe, see how you treat these children. Don't you think this would be the effect? See, anytime you are not around, they are happy. But when you are around, they are no more happy. Don't you think it is wrong? Now, when you begin to reason like that, you drop it. Now, you have put her in a condition to reason with you. But in their presence, in rebuking you, they rebuke her.
That's what I'm saying, because sometimes I feel for her. Those children, they normally always like to stay with
you. Why will they not come to you when rebuking, you know, praise God.
Daddy love me, mommy hates me.
That's it now.
No. That's terrible. It.
And you must not do that.
Okay, sir.
You know, and for instance, you know, not too long ago, my son did something, and I was calling. In fact, I was beating him. I gave him some small beating. While I was beating him, my wife too got angry. He did a very stupid thing, and she came and hit him too. And I walked away. I left them. When she came inside the room, I told her that was bad. I was already rebuking the child. You did not need to add again. And so you decided to take over. That's why I walked away from you. And she said, it was anger. I regret doing it. You see? But if I had stopped, I said, why are you beating her? Beating him. I'm beating you, you are beating him. Then it will have been another fight.
Okay.
So I just walked away. And as I left the boy and walked into the room, I told him, you did this. This is wrong. Now, the same thing also, you know, the two different people, different approach. I can't use my example for your own.
Yes, sir.
Because you may be having a woman that is hot tempered, quite opposite of you. So you are to use your cool temper to quench fire, not to add fire. For the interest of the family. That is very, very important. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Shalom, sir. Sir, my question is this. In my house today, at times my wife will bath my children or I cook for them to prepare them for school.
God bless you. Brother Sam from Qatar, God bless you.
Can I go ahead?
Speaker, we are hearing you, you're on air.
Okay. Shalom, church. Good evening, sir. Oh, good morning, sir. Please, sir.
Speaker, we are hearing you.
We are discussing today. Yes, sir. Because I was unfortunate to find myself in the tight corner in my life also. Unfortunately, I'm married when I'm not born again. But when I discovered Blood Assembly, I know better now. So, I live outside Nigeria, but my wife and my children live in Nigeria. But she decided to like quarrel. She quarrels a lot with the neighbors for something that is not necessary. And also, while I'm somewhere where I am struggling for life, and I still have some money to get some property for the family. There's something she got back to Nigeria, and I learned that she was doing everything with her name. In fact, that was a particular property she bought. Although actually that was her money, because I was trying to sort out the family issues, and she was serving her own salary, and the money went to the particular level, and she told me that this is what she had. I said, okay, we have to use it to do something like this. She said, no problem. Then, get to the point where we're going to make an agreement, based on I'm not around there, she had to use her name and her family name to do that. And I asked her why she did that. She was trying to give me the excuse that I don't want to, you know, I don't want to consider, but one way or the other, I just let go of that. So later, I called the lawyer to change the paper on that. Then the last one who bought again last year, she did that again with her own name. Apart from that being my problem, she decided that life's over. There's nothing I do that makes her feel comfortable. I don't know, she don't feel comfortable seeing money in my account, but I try all of my possible best to sort out the bills in the house and every other thing. So whatever she's working, I ask her, keep your money. But she feels so bad at times when she sees maybe I have 200,000 in my account and she has 2 million. She always wanted to spend that little one money in my account. She doesn't want to touch her own money. And if at all, for whatsoever reason, she spends the money paying school fees for the children, maybe at a particular point in time that I'm not able to send the money to them, that would be the bell ringing on my ear anytime I'm calling her. She will remind me of that I'm owing her for the school fees that she paid for the children. So it's like I'm finding myself in that corner and I'm no more comfortable with the whole thing the way they're going. And I want to correct this. I don't know the advice you might give to me for me to correct this mistake. I don't know if this is a mistake or the kind of person she is. But I God, want her to be a better person.
God bless you, Brother Sam from Qatar.
A good advice.
God bless you. God bless you.
My brother Sam, like you said, you were not born again when you married her. So these are foundation problems. Because, like we always say, marriage belongs to the house of God. If you marry under any kind of principle, before you know the Lord, these are some of the problems. Not all of the marriage out there actually in itself is bad. But as the day goes by, we discover these things, they keep having this issue, they come up. And I have always said that when you hear the word divorce, for me, first of all, it is divided voice and divided force. The force is not together, and the voice is not together, even though you are under one roof. For you, I think the force of labor to build the family is divided. You are laboring one part, she is laboring another part. And now, if I understand, as a Christian, she is displaying a nature and an attribute that is not of Christ. So again, the onus lie on you to, with your own Christian experience and lifestyle, in prayer and by constant talking to you, be able to win her in the Lord and to gain her to come to the knowledge of the Lord. It is when she has known the Lord that she will learn to submit not only herself but all that she has. It is within the confines of the church that we could say that. But if she's not under the authority of Christ, it is a difficult thing. So that way God has to come into the scene for her to learn absolute and total submission, to realize that as the head, everything belongs to the family, and therefore should be used to promote all that the family needs and for the family cause. God bless you.
God bless you. We are answering questions, but we are aware that many of us listening to us sitting down here, we face different problems in the area of marriage. Some of us are also very blessed, particularly somebody like me. You know, I think I have one of the most wonderful
marriages, but I can tell anybody, I wish you have the kind of wife I have. Yeah, it's true. Praise God. You know, when I say my wife counsels women a lot, what does she use? She uses her experience with me.
That's right.
To counsel the women. I use my experience with her to counsel others too. So we understand, we are talking here, we are married. Whatever advice we give you, we are giving you this advice also from a standpoint of our experience. Especially, he is from Adamawa. He is from Adamawa State, but he's married to Akwa Ibom.
Akwa Ibom.
From an Akwa Ibom woman. I am from Nasarawa State. I am married from a Delta Igbo woman. And yet, we are living in peace. And I am married as an unbeliever.
That's right.
So, we know what we are counseling about when you now become a Christian, how you should live. Take what we are telling you seriously. Now, we also know that there are some of us that are married and we are having problems because of also some spiritual manipulations. That is why no matter what counsel we give you, you must, whatever effort, I mean to say, you will do to maintain peace, you must go with prayers.
That's right.
You must go with prayers because we have faced situations where there are spirits, covenants, working against sometimes the man, sometimes the woman. Once you get married, a demon wife, a demon spirit will come and say, you marry her, there will be no peace. Until that demon is cast out, there will never be peace in our family. It happens. So that is why, no matter what we tell you, practice it, wisdom, but jam it with serious prayers when you know you are having a problem you cannot handle. God bless you. Yes.
So my own is that my family today, my wife, at times I used to help her in the morning. Either I bathe children or I cook. But any day I did not do any of them, there will be quarrel in the house that very day. Mistakenly, maybe she go out. Then I call her, please buy something for children to school tomorrow. She will tell me that since I did not bath or I did not cook them in the morning, she will not buy it. So many a times, even if you're on the Sunday like this, if we want to come to church, either maybe I prepare what to eat, or if I didn't prepare, maybe I go and buy if we want to take tea or want to take a pap or something like that. She'll say, oh yeah, feed the children. If I did not do any of them, we'll quarrel from house to church that very day. So, sir, what do I do, sir?
God bless you. Please, as a man, don't do anything in the house, especially as it relates to the woman's responsibility. Out of duty. Do it out of your volition. Don't make it look as if you are doing her a favor. Don't let her see it as if
it's a duty.
Sorry?
As if it's a duty.
It's a duty.
Yes.
It is not a duty
at all.
You do it because you want to do it. Don't you ever do it because of duty. Once she notices you have taken it as a duty, she will take that and ride on you. So that you went to bathe the children, it is because you wanted to bathe the children. Let her know it clearly. She could have been bathing the children and said, okay, leave it. I just want to bathe these children today. You may not ever bathe these children again, maybe 2-3 weeks. But when it becomes a duty, you are creating a precedence. And the day you don't want to do it now, she has seen you doing a duty that you do not want to do. You are not a bully or an iron around. No. You are flexible, you are loving, but you are the head. And therefore you give direction and you give guidance in the family. That you cook for her, it is not out of duty that you must cook. You cook it out of love, out of your own volition. She could, when she sees from that perspective, she will not want to order you around. It is when you begin to make it a duty, maybe because you are looking for favor from her. And that's why you kept doing some of this and you subjugate your role. You know, you begin to do this thing now, and then they are very easy to bewitch. You know, witchcraft that we always talk about is not some old woman in the village with no teeth and all of that. Anything and anyone that brings you into submission to do what you willingly don't want to do, that thing, that person has bewitched you. It must always come because you do it out of your volition, out of love, not out of duty. Once that is how you go about it, the question of wanting to quarrel you around is not about. In case you raise it up, then sit her down and address it. My wife, that I bathe these children is not because I am doing it out of duty. I bathe them, yes, they are my children. I love to bathe them, that is why I bathe them. Don't you ever mistake that. Once you address that, she knows that you meant it, she will back up. God bless you.
Sir, your father-in-law is still alive. Your mother-in-law is still alive.
Yes, sir.
Your mother-in-law is still alive.
Yes, sir.
Did you marry before your father-in-law died?
Yes, sir.
So your mother-in-law is still alive.
Yes, sir.
You need to find out whether your father-in-law was cooking for your mother-in-law. You need to find out that, because if that is how she was brought up, then it will be very difficult for you to correct her. Why did you start cooking for her?
I just do it out of help. Because at times we used to go out early morning so that then, I used to help her so that she can be able to go.
So you follow this advice. Now let me tell the men something. Let me give you one wisdom. Praise God. Now listen, because just this afternoon, somebody was telling me, you know, a wife of somebody, a brother, is misbehaving. Will take off, go out, come back anytime he like, take off, go out, come back anytime he like, and all such funny something. And the young man is boiling. And then told the woman, I don't marry again. And then called the father-in-law to say, carry your daughter, I don't marry again. And I quickly say that is wrong. Listen, when you have a good case, don't spoil it by the way you approach it. If I were the one, I would let that woman keep doing it. Keep doing it. Come in anytime you like. Go out anytime you like. You don't cook for me. I cook for myself. I'll keep all the record. I keep everything. Then, the day now, I have enough evidence that a normal person will hear and look at her. Is it true? You know, come up with your husband. You don't know where you go. And you come out, you have been doing this for so long. They say, now it will not be you anymore that will be talking. Now everybody now will face her. You are a bad woman. But when you handle it yourself, you beat her, you do this one. What happened? He come out yesterday, he come back late. The other day, do this one. You spoil your case, because most of the time they can talk better than us. Get a good case. You know, prepare a good case. Then take it to the mother. Mama, do you know that I have not eaten yesterday, today? Because they say, I no cook. Tell her mother. By the time the mother descend on her, is it true? Yes. You don't cook for your husband because you don't bathe your children in the morning to go to school. The mother will, in her presence, will tell you the man, now you curse her. From today, don't do him again. You find freedom. So when next you decided to come and do this, you will not know that it is a privilege, not a right. So build your case very well to tame somebody who is stubborn. God bless you. The last person, please.
Sir, please, I happen to be a man that married a lady that her mother had outside the wedlock. So she don't even know her father. And she's sincere. I didn't ask her. She walked to me and tell me that, look at what happened.
After you married her?
No, before.
Before?
Yeah. So I accepted it because I am.
Sister Emenineni from Delta State.
Hello.
God bless you, you're on air.
The pastor from church said that we can tell our children our past life. We can tell our children our past life. We can tell our children our past life.
Your question?
My question is that when you tell the children, for instance, the child is having a boyfriend, and the child will tell her that I was once having a boyfriend. The child will say, I copied it from you. Or, for instance, she is stealing. And you say, why are you stealing? You say, mommy, you told me that you were stealing before, so I copied it from you. So why should we tell them about our past when they will use it against us that we are the one making them to steal also?
God bless you. Amen.
My second question is about my husband. My husband does not have interest for sex. Time that we are at home, he doesn't desire me. And it's not romantic. When we can be in the house for 3 months without not having a sex. If we manage to have sex, and I say romance me, he will say it's a big word to him that I should say again. And then his organ will just go down. And right now, his organ does not rise again. So with this, what do I do? And he is a pastor. I don't know what to do because it's causing a lot of problems in my home.
Do you have any children?
Yes, help me.
Do you have any children?
One.
Thank God.
God bless you, Sister Emma. Your first question is in relation to training and correcting your children. Why I'm saying so is because when you are raising children, there are age and time they reach, and there are certain traits and behaviors you see in them, and they seem to be bent on going that way without realizing the implication of what they are doing. Now that you have known better, probably you have lived that life and it led you nowhere. In sitting that girl and that boy down, it is to tell her or him, my daughter, my son, this way you are going, this is how it ends. It is never profitable. Because I have once gone this way, it didn't turn out to be good for me. It turned out terribly bad. If you go in this direction, this is how it is going to be. Therefore, if you go this other way that I am telling you now, it will end you in a better way than you are going like this. I do not think that child will want to wake up and then want to say, mommy, you told me. Oh, that is your lifestyle. Because what you are doing, what you are correcting the child in love and appreciating her or his position in the circumstance that she or he is, based on peer pressure or other matters, you're saying, you are going to bring out with an experience that though you are under this circumstance, we all were once under it, but it never ends well. But if you go this way, it will actually turn out to be good for you. I do not think that the child will turn out to be abusing you. Unless, even as you are correcting that child, your lifestyle again, even in the house, is no different from who you used to be. So she will hold this at a tool, or you hold this at a tool, and talk back to you at that thing. But when she's seeing a different you with a different way of living, I do not think that child will have the effrontery to confront you that way. And concerning the sex life with your husband, actually, I have a brother who is a pastor also. And as recently as 3 days ago, I was discussing with him. He has the problem and not the wife. Throughout his life, through his university, he married as a virgin. The wife wasn't a virgin. So, even on the night of their honeymoon, he didn't know where the hole is. He didn't know how to go about it. He had to call a brother who told him what to do and how to go about it. So now, that became an issue. And there was constant problem in the house because the wife kept thinking that, you know, why is he denying her conjugal right? You know, so other issue comes up and she hides under those ones, not telling him the real reason, and she'll be quarreling. She'll be fighting, and a lot of issues like that. So, until a pharmacist who is a brother, you know, one day he opened to him, because he has opened up to many people he never worked. When he opened up to this pharmacist, he told him that while he counseled him, he gave him a drug that will enhance his strength and put him in a situation that he could be able to perform well. And he told me, when he went home and they went into action, the wife now, after the access, what happened? Why are you different now? And he noticed for that week or two, she became a different woman completely. So he discovered that that thing worked. You know, so that was how he subsequently continued. So, if your husband will be honest and open, because sometimes we men, because of our ego, we do not want to be seen to have fallen, or we are weak, or we couldn't perform to the satisfaction of the woman. If you have it as a challenge, open up to her, seek counseling, either before your pastor or you go to the health people. Let them counsel you about it. If it's a health issue, let them deal with it. If it is a psychological issue, they will also deal with it. If it is a spiritual issue also, the pastor will deal with it. But hiding it simply because you don't want to appear as weak before your wife, you are actually creating more problem. Because some will say, well, I am tired, I just returned from office. That's not the issue. Some of the men are afraid that as soon as I start, I will just release and come down, and the woman has not, and then she will say, look, you're not a man, you can't even perform. The fear of that alone makes some men to run away. I have met cases like that. And all I tell them is that be frank to your wife, and then go and get educated about it, or you seek medical counsel, and when they counsel you, then you will discover that you will perform in that area. So, if your husband will be open and frank, you know, both to his pastor or his spiritual father or to a counselor, I think it will help him a lot, rather than hiding it and giving excuse that does not exist. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Yes, my brother.
Yes, sir. As I was saying, my wife didn't even know who is her father, who her father is, whether he's alive or dead. So she told me before I marry her, I wed her, she's sincere. And me, I am a kind of person that always find fault in a woman easily. So I happen to love her, I like her. I don't know how I like her in that way so much. So there is nothing that will make me not to marry her, because I don't know how I like her like that. So, in that extent, we marry, we wed. So before then, I went to my pastor. I told him, look at the situation. He's the one that told me, because I know my family will not take it. They will not, because I know the kind of person they would like me to marry. They will not take it. So I comforted him. He told me not to tell them. I should hide it from my parents, my people. I agree, and I went and did it. Even till now, they didn't know how far, how is it. I always use their uncle there and say that is their father. Even when the man died last year, I went and buried the man as in my in-law. So I don't know. I want to ask, is it going to have a kind of effect on me if I didn't tell, because I am not too comfortable with it. We have an issue, and I love her, I cherish her, but this is the only, whenever I think about it, I always
brother,
feel maybe I am
brother, praise God. We are, the only thing you are afraid of is afraid of disclosing something that pertains to yourself, pertaining to herself. She owned up from the beginning, she told you who she is. You have a responsibility of what you do with that information. And you have handled it well. Because you are the one that need to know, nobody else. And you love her, and you don't even know why you love her. It's God that brought the two of you together, that's why you can't even explain it. The important thing is you love her. And because of what you have done, you have won the love of that woman forever. Because you have kept a secret that needs to be kept. Forever, she'll be submissive to you. And that's why she's doing the things that is making you love her even the more. Continue like that. You have not done anything wrong.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Church, clap your hands for Jesus. Brother Weston hit some people below the belt, right? Because when he talk finish, why some people laugh? I see some people go do like this. That is now them they take hit. It's like kike. This man they talking and throw.
Hello.
Who again? Paul again. So many Pauls calling us. From Oshun State. Yes, Paul.
Thank you so much for the program. I really appreciate it and even thank God for the program. I'm really enjoying it right from almost 2 weeks that I've been joining the program. My question is this. I've married with 2 girls, and the problem I'm having presently is this. The person that has the question about helping the wife at home, and the wives are taking it as granted. I think the question is also related to me. And secondly, as the issue of sex. The problem I'm having whenever I want to have it with my wife, I have to beg her so much before she could allow me. Please, what can I do? Even sometimes she'll be saying, okay, my next week, next month, and I don't know what to do. And I just need your help, what I can do on the issue. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. It's an unfortunate situation. If everything is right, and then this woman will not allow you make love to her, and she keep giving excuse or giving you time, you know, that obviously shows that she is not submissive. Whatever is her reason, probably you need to sit with her to know why she is resentful and does not want it. There was a minister under this message in Jaws that married, and since he married his wife, she refused to allow him have her. Years passed. She says that she doesn't like it, she will never like it, and she will not have anything to do with that act. He had tried everything, And before we realized it, the thing has driven him to start going out. He kept going at all until, out of stubbornness, he divorced the wife. As if that was a solution. You know, he continued all until, I think 5-7 years ago, he died. So that was terrible. A lot of people came into it. They couldn't solve the problem. But like the pastor said, some of these things,
spiritual.
Some of these things is spiritual problem. You know, you really need a counselor, a spiritual father that could really go deep into it. You need to sort spiritual help. Probably that is something God has to reveal, and prayer must be done, because sometimes we may do everything right and yet the thing is not working. Then I think at that stage we must seek spiritual help. That's the much I can say.
Praise the Lord. Some men are homosexuals. So their attitude towards sex with the opposite sex, with a woman, will be problematic. Some women are lesbians. So they won't let their husband touch them when they should. They find sexual pleasure some other way. So you have to also find out if your wife does not allow you to touch her, then watch to see whether she's also a lesbian somewhere. That thing is a terrible spirit. When it comes upon a man or a woman, the opposite sex partner, the opposite partner suffers. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. I want to also add to what Pastor Wesley said, family values, fathers. There's something William Branham said. I don't know whether Wesley quoted it when I was not listening. That you should make your home so comfortable that your children, wherever they go, they will love to hurriedly come back home. When we say comfortable, you know the things that you should do, keep at home, to keep your children at home. Create a conducive atmosphere. When the father, the mother, you go out, let the children be anxious to have you back. Not the children praying that you don't come back in time. When you do that, you are risking sending your children out to bad companies outside. I have a friend's children that visit me. The children love to visit me very regularly, until we were wondering why do they always like to come, until we discovered that those little things that we allow the children to feel free with in my house, in their own house, there are a lot of restrictions to them. You see? So, one of them came to my dining table and saw a particular chocolate that was left there, and everybody could pick from it and was eating. Then he shouted, "Is, hey, see this chocolate here, come on." He said, "My father locks this same chocolate in a lock and for room." A small child was saying that, and was grabbing it. And then something that is common here is under restriction in their own house. Now when that child goes back home and sees, there will be conflict. He will look at you as being wicked. Something that is common here, it is restricted here. And things like that. So, these little things, you know, they matter a lot. And we should be watchful. Watch your children. The day that my wife saw in my son's school bag the exercise book of his classmates. Exercise book of his classmate. He said, "Why are you with the exercise book of your classmate?" in your bank. Is he aware? Of course he will lie. Yes, it's my friend, it's the one that gave it to me. It's okay, I will confirm it tomorrow. And then drove the next day to the school. Did not took the boy now personally that day to school and asked to see the owner of this book. The child came. Hey, the child, hey, see my book. Oh, so you didn't even know you lost the book. Then my wife started, you are stealing. That is stealing. That is stealing. And of course, from school there, you can imagine what she did to that boy. And so, do you think that boy will try to bring home anything that does not belong to him? Because the mother will see it. You see your child with a phone set, handset. You should ask, how did you get the money to buy? So person gave me, go and confirm that the person gave your child. You see the person with a cloth, see with anything at all. Because it is either you are stolen or somebody is enticing the person. For some other reason, you stop it. You see, further one thing to Pastor Weston said, my son, the dining table sat me down, was asking me, Daddy, why did you go to the prison? I heard you preaching. You say you went to prison yet. That is 6 years or so. He was 6 years old. I said, yes, I went to the prison. He said, why did you go to the prison? I gave the reason. We have a problem in my office. I took the money. Then he said, but why did you take the money? You see? Then he went further. Inside the prison yard, how is he? Is he comfortable? Now, each question he asked, I was using as an opportunity to state the bad aspect of it. The bad thing about it. The bad thing about it. The bad thing about it. And then told her, so he said, so anybody that steal will go to the prison? I said, certain, sure. And when you go into the prison, so what do you do inside the prison yard? I said, you suffer. As you fart like this, you become thin. And I was saying it very seriously. Of course, it was an opportunity to tell him something. I didn't know he was old enough for me to explain that to that level. You see? So that is how you watch them, and every opportunity you use your bad side to let them know they should not go that way. This is the effect. Praise the Lord. So once again, Pastor Wesley, we thank you very much. Can we put our hands together? God bless you, sir. Okay, we never finish, so we are going to anoint everybody now. Take our first offering for the camp.